This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. It is a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. The start of two in a row at home for the Winnipeg Jets tonight on Mr. Lube game day. They host the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Big Show will tee you up. The Don Vito Roundtable with Kevin Olszewski at 11 a.m. We'll have the latest on the lineups and some audio after the morning skates, of course. Then the Gondola Pizza warm-up with the Hustler will carry you into the afternoon ride live from Boston Pizza from 3 till 6 p.m. with Mr. Rick Ralph and Andrew Hustler-Patterson. Kevin Olszewski will be back with the Manitoba Trades pregame show live from BP City Place as well. Puck drop tonight with Mr. Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns at 7 p.m. live from Bell MTS Place. And then Olszewski and friends will have the Huron Windows postgame show live from Boston Pizza City Place as well. Lots to get to with the Jets and the game tonight. Some lineup changes and a new face back in the net. The Bombers, we'll get into that, and the Canadian Football League, and what is going on in Saskatchewan? What is going on in Saskatchewan? Drama. Drama.
Follows Daron Carter, man.
Do you guys like drama? I hate drama.
No. Drama in a locker room's not fun. And especially, I mean, if you're winning, you know, you can have different types of drama if you're winning and it just guys laugh, hug, all the rest of it when you're kind of losing and
you get some of the drama.
Huh?
You know what cures drama? Bowling. When they go bowling, it cures drama.
Oh, yeah?
According to Daron Carter. Mitch Gall is going to join us from Montreal. We'll talk some Canadians. Dennis Bayak, the face of the Jets on TSN 3 and main voice here at TSN 1290, will be by to talk Jets. Milt Stegall will be by to talk CFL and drama. Drama-free since 73, Milt Stegall. Jason Cole will be by to talk about the Bleacher Report, and we'll see if he's okay with the Aaron Rodgers injury. And we'll tee up the phone lines, an hour of your phone calls, NHL news and notes, and two chances to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas. Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki with you. How are we, gentlemen? Drama-free? Drama-free today.
Drama-free, man. I've ranted about this before. Guys, like again, last night out with the young fellas and just playing some soccer, you know, doing some drills and stuff. But, guys, there's so much goose poo. I tweeted a picture of it yesterday. It's like every 6x6-inch spot, there's goose poo. On the balls, they bounce all over the place when you're trying to pass on the shoes, shirts, legs, everywhere. I'm ready to wage war against geese, guys. Like, I'm this close to just snapping on geese wherever I see them.
Huh.
Done. They're like rodents to me.
I would agree with that, and that's also why I stuck to the ice. There ain't no birds getting on the ice there and having some droppings there. So
did you go for a twirl last night?
Me?
Get on the ice?
No. I just don't step on soccer field.
I
like
see what
watching the game. I don't really enjoy playing it.
That running.
Yeah, realistically, that's what it is. Yeah. I would be like, if I played soccer, like definitely a striker. And definitely, definitely offside 95% of the game.
and your favorite saying would be, to the feet! To the feet!
I played against this one cat in Winnipeg. He's a great player. He's Jamaican, so he's got a cool accent too. And he's big, strong, powerful. And he always says to see one time, it's always me and him, right? We'll be playing sweeper, and it's up to me, unfortunately, to try and shut him down and all the rest of it. And he's screaming to his players one time, the magic is in the feet, not in space. Put it on my feet. Oh, man, he's funny.
I played with a guy, a rookie in college. Actually, was a player of the year that year. And he said to me whenever I happened to get on the pitch for the 15 minutes left in a game, to the feet! To the feet! And I'd be like, I'm not as good as you. Could you just take a step to your left? It's so close to you. I apologize. Mr. Lou, Winnipeg Jets game day, and lots to get to. Before we get into the game itself, I'll leave that for our next segment with Mr. Nick Ehlers. Matthew Perreault on the injured reserve list. Ken Weeb was on the Don Vito Roundtable yesterday and said he went back through the game video And I remember the play at the end of the second period when Tyler Myers took a tumble into the boards, and I was watching him, and apparently it was the same play that Matthew Perreault got dinged up in. He and Dmitry Kulikov did not finish the game on Saturday night against Carolina, so I did not see the Perreault incident, but they're expecting him out for 4 weeks. So Kyle Connor has been called up from the Manitoba Moose, has 5 points, 2 goals, and 3 assists in 4 games for the Manitoba Moose this year, and we'll get a good, healthy look on the line with Patrick Laine and Brian Little. And I know a lot of Jets fans are excited for this, and I am too, because not only is this where he probably should be, where I had him coming out of camp, and not upset that he didn't make the team from what I saw from camp, but not only is this exciting for the team, but it's exciting for him because you never want to get into the lineup this way, but it looks like it's going to be a healthy long look with the 4 weeks that Matthew Perreault is expected out.
And maybe a little bit of raised. I mean, there's all kinds of folks. When you say Matthew Perreault, most people see think a real gritty guy who's pretty effective out there. And then right after that, it's injury prone, right? Misses too many games. And so this is just sort of adds to that whole narrative and storyline with Matthew Perreault, where yeah, he's a great player, but he can't stay healthy. And you just kind of wonder at some point in time with his age and the remaining contract and stuff left, as good as he is when he's healthy, I wonder going forward at some point in time if you as an organization, it's tough to live with a cat that you want to be sitting in your top nine ideally, right, to sort of simmer down into that and certainly make your team overall a guy you can plug in anywhere. He can play anywhere. You know, 200 feet, special teams, however you need the guy, he's there and ready to go. But if you're only putting up 65 or 60 games a season, it calls or it really puts a lot of stress on the depth all the time. So I wonder how long they sort of endure that.
Yeah, and you know what? It's probably gotten to the point that the team, I would guess, plans for 60 games of Matthew Perreault in the season. And you have to, realistically. It's just, you look at the amount of games that he's missed over the past few years, and it's going to be somewhere in around 15 to 20-ish, which is a shame. But then again, that's probably why he's making, what is it, $4.5 million instead of $6.5 million, because his production, there's no reason to be upset about the production he gives you on the ice. It's just some guys can stay healthy, some guys can't, and he falls into the latter company here. But I think this development for the Jets, this could be one of the more impactful 4 weeks of the season, because if Kyle Connor can come in and if he can produce on that second line,
be like a blessing in disguise.
That's exactly what this could be in terms of if he plays the way that, maybe not the way he has in the AHL, but if he gives you kind of similar production as he crosses over to the league. So if you regress that to whatever that would be. Then when Matthew Perreault comes back and you look at Kyle Connor, you say, we can't take him out of the top six. Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden now you have what we've been kind of hoping for all season long or before the season started, where you put Matthew Perreault onto a third line with Adam Lowry and then whether it be Armia or Kopp or whoever goes on that right side. Then you have the balance here, which is why these next few games are so, so crucial to not only Kyle Connor and staying up with the team, but I really do think this can play a massive role in this team finding an easier path to get towards the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's good all-around scenario. If he can, he's going to have to produce, but he's going to have to be solid two-way as well. And I think he's going to get a good shot. Look, I don't wish any ill will on Matthew Perreault, and I think this team needs him in the lineup if they're going to go anywhere. Unfortunately, he has this history of being injured. But if he can, I think the best part about this for Kyle Connor is that it's not like 2 to 3 games. It's not a day-to-day injury for Matthew Perreault. It's, now, if he goes 4 games and is costing the team defensively and hasn't produced anything, he might be knocked down a bit, but the opportunity is there. And it's an interesting opportunity because this is his third time up with the team in the past year and 2 weeks. He's on a line that, as we just discussed, is going to give him ample opportunity. And I find him, he's a player that wants to get better. He wants to sort of develop, and he wants to play, you know, and he understands by his comments yesterday the opportunity he's been given. So it's going to be fascinating. And having said all that, it's not going to be easy for him. I mean, you have the Columbus Blue Jackets twice, the Minnesota Wild twice, and the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions twice. When you're playing up there and you see the lines that he could be playing against, he is going to have to find a way to produce and be responsible. And I'm excited to see it.
And that's why I'm a little bit surprised that they didn't, as I said yesterday and in the past I've said this, when if Kyle Connor comes up to fit in the top six, I'm a little bit surprised because I don't think there would be an argument that at this point in time he would be the weakest defensively with line A and Ehlers. And I thought you'd want to insulate him as much as possible on the line, which is why I saw Wheeler going down with Little if Connor's going to be in a top six role and have Ehlers with Scheifele and Laine. I wonder if that ends up happening. But what you were touching on there, JT, when you have a team like Columbus that is so solid with rolling their four lines and all the rest of it, this is a great test for you to play strong defensively. And then even larger than that for the Winnipeg Jets here, that whole the whole top six, bottom six thing, and you know people across the country are writing on the disparity for the Jets between those two aspects of the team. It's going to get tested in a huge way when you got your next six games are against probably teams that are all inside the top five deepest teams in the NHL. So this is going to be quite an experiment.
Yeah, and Connor is going to be playing against some of the top opposition night in, night out, but he's also going to be playing with some of the best players that you can play with, right? So I'm not – if he doesn't produce, it's not a – to me, it's more on him than, I guess, situation or anything around him. Like, this is kind of the life of a top draft pick and a top prospect. You're supposed to come in and produce. That's your job. That's your role. So now he has to do that. He has to find a way to do that for this team. And if he can – It really will be it could be a season-changing development for the team, because right now what's holding this club back, it's not the top six play. It's, especially if we're just talking forward core, it's what's going on in that bottom six and the basically black hole of production that they've given this team so far.
I think it was Rick Ralph who pointed out yesterday, it might not have been yesterday, it might have been the day before, but you pointed out the 2 points from the bottom six from the Jets, both shorthanded points, a goal and an assist, where the Toronto Maple Leafs have 19 points, including 9 goals from their bottom six.
Isn't
and in fact,
amazing, huh?
Mitch Marner, who has 4 goals, has been pushed down to the fourth line in Toronto, and Mike Babcock literally said the veteran gets the benefit of the doubt. He's the young player on that line. At minus six, so he goes down. Like, and you know, two folds with those comments. A, I get it, and B, like, has no problem saying it. Like, you're a young player, but in this town, all we want is a young player to be given all this opportunity. Where, you know, Mike Babcock says if there's a veteran and there's a young player and they're not producing as a line, the young player is going to get it. But the point is 19 points from your bottom six, including now your fourth line guy in Mitch Marner, who has 4 goals already this year compared to the production that the Winnipeg Jets had. It's a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. We still have to talk goaltending and Mr. Ehlers, how bright his star shone last week. That's next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 and Gypsum Drywall Interiors present Caring for Kids. Support the staff and services of the Children's Hospital Foundation of Manitoba today. Text KIDS to 129090. Standard message rates may apply. Every time you do, Gypsum Drywall Interiors will donate $1 to the Children's Hospital. Up to $1,000, your actions can help the Children's Hospital keep caring for kids across Manitoba. And of course, kids like Michaela, who is currently battling cancer. For more on caring for kids, visit TSN1290.ca. Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day, Jets and Blue Jackets tonight, 7 o'clock on TSN 1290. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki with you. And Mr. Steve Mason back in net. Paul Maurice commenting yesterday on why he's going with Steve Mason tonight over Connor Hellebuyck. Do we have that comment? Let's hear from head coach Paul Maurice on the decision to put Steve Mason back between the pipes.
I think his game in the second game, there were outstanding saves. I think that he played well in them. I don't think we judged our goaltender by how he played in those two games as being the deciding factor for us. This guy's a good goaltender. And based on our schedule, I can't leave him out any longer. I don't want to. I want him back in the net.
So Mason, it is this evening.
And anyone that it really bugged me after those games when people were just delivering highlights or whatever and not actually watching the Jets games and talking about Steve Mason like he's been a massive disappointment so far. And the numbers, never want to say bad numbers are funny, but if you were just to look on paper, Steve Mason with a .831 save percentage and a .656 goals against in the two games played, I mean, it looks like a nightmare. But anybody that watched those games, and Paul Maurice just referenced the second game, in both those games he was making some brilliant saves, and it'd be like third, fourth shots going in and all kinds of backdoor, his greatest weakness, the backdoor tap-in, is so famously said by Brandon Rewicki during the preseason, right? So he hasn't had a chance really to take root whatsoever, and you'd certainly hope that the boys, although the opponent's tough and kind of scary here, you'd hope that tonight the boys are stout in front of him.
Yeah, just please. Yeah, you really
please.
Hope he has a
for the love
yeah,
of God.
Just give him something to work with moving forward here. I would have went with Hellebuyck tonight, but I mean, you're going to play these two guys in one of these two games anyways, so it's, to me, it's not really a huge deal. I guess whichever way you want to flip-flop it. But yeah, I thought, the first game, maybe you could have pointed to a goal Mason would have liked to have had back, but against Calgary, what was it, 6-2? I think he was the best player for the Jets. That's a problem when your goalie gives up six and he's clearly the best player that you have out there. So, I hope defensively they're able to lock it down at least a little bit just to give Steve Mason a chance here and just avoid having your goalie give up, four plus goals in each of his first three starts with a new team. And you just want some kind of good vibes moving forward here. So hopefully he has a great night tonight.
He'll be facing a Columbus Blue Jackets lineup that's coming to town, of course, that is deep and can score and move the puck. And I agree. I think he was going to get one of these two games anyways. Anyway, I should say. And I have no problem with it being this one. Do you think there was any consideration to the fact that Minnesota's a division game on Friday? Or is it just, I think it's just him needing to get a game in?
It's an interesting question to ask for sure. I'd be a little bit surprised if that came into play, but yeah, you have to wonder. But either way, and ultimately here, guys, with Connor Hellebuyck playing at the level that he's playing at, if Steve Mason goes in and plays lights out, how don't you start him the next game?
Right? Well, that's the question too.
Yeah, how don't you?
I guess the same way you didn't start Hellebuyck this game. Who I would say was lights out against Carolina.
Except he had a bit of a run. At least you gave him a few games to go there. If Mason comes in after the disappointing start and shutout or one goal against looks fantastic, he's going to start again, I believe, against Minny.
I don't know. It's just mainly because you have essentially a week off after the Friday game, which is ridiculous. But I feel like you get both goalies in this week. I don't even think it matters what Steve Mason does tonight.
Well, and you have back-to-backs next week after that week off, essentially. But I agree. Like it's going to be very fascinating to watch. Is it a week-to-week thing if both are playing well? Is it a game-to-game thing if both are playing well? It's easy if they're not. But say Mason comes in and makes 30 saves and wins 3-1. Like, do you not go with him on Friday again under the same philosophy you went with Hellebuyck?
And can you get a different schedule from last year to this to start off? I mean, this is as sparse as you get. Right? Compared to the bizarreness and incredible intensity.
No excuses. That schedule's not an excuse.
Yeah.
No team has ever played this few games in the first month of a season is what they're going to be saying a couple of weeks from now.
32 games in 60 days. No excuses. Nick Ehlers was named first star of the week in the National Hockey League. 5 goals, 2 assists. By the way, I want to correct myself. Kyle Connor has 3 goals and 2 assists, 5 points, not 2 goals and 3 helpers. 3 goals down with the Manitoba Moose. Nick Ehlers had 5 goals and 2 assists in 3 games to help lead the Jets to a 3-0 record and is named NHL First Star of the Week.
And what's the ceiling on the young fella? I mean, last year, gushing about him all the time. To me, he's the straw that stirs the drink, and he's got this level of production on the second power play unit as well, right? Like, there's no reason in the world for him to be on the second power play unit, I dare say. I think it's ridiculous. And what he's putting together, like, I think we could really see something magical and not just some short-lived thing. I think he is – there's the possibility that he will be as impressive as anything Patrick Laine does this year. Even if Patrick Laine gets 40, 45 goals, I think the overall playmaking ability and brilliance of Nikolai Ehlers – although, like, will be of equal value, but different, because he's not the goal scorer that Patrick Laine is, but his level of brilliance can't be denied.
I think that Nikolai Ehlers' agent is going to have his phone turned off for a while and just kind of hiding in the weeds, so somewhere with low reception, right? Because that contract, it was a bit of a head scratcher from Ehlers' side once it was signed, and the way he's played early on, I don't know. It kind of feels like 70 points is maybe the floor almost. Uh-huh. Like he's reaching another level here, and it's funny too when you compare the Leafs and the Jets, and you have Laine and Matthews, but Ehlers and Nylander are basically the same player. And so you have those two going head to head as well, and they both have very similar starts to the season.
Do you want to do some endorsements and make some extra cash that way?
Yeah.
Do you want? Do you want to make an appearance somewhere and make some extra cash that way?
We'll be right back on our Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. We'll delve into the Bombers and get into the CFL and what's going on in Saskatchewan next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day today as the Columbus Blue Jackets are in town to drop the puck with the Winnipeg Jets live at 7 p.m. tonight from Bell MTS Place right here on TSN 1290. Full pre- and post-game coverage as well. News out of yesterday, in case you missed it, Matthew Perreault expected to be out 4 weeks. He's on the IR. Dmitry Kulikov could be out 2 weeks, but he skated apparently pretty hard yesterday at practice, so Paul Maurice thinks could be less than 2 weeks. Adam Lowry and Matt Hendricks aren't in tomorrow, but there's an outside chance it could be available for Friday. So Tucker Poolman does draw into the lineup once again tonight. Much more on the Jets coming up, especially in the Royal Sports Power Hour. Dennis Bayak will join us. We'll talk some Montreal Canadiens as well in NHL news and notes. We're going to talk some Bombers and some CFL. Looks like Kevin Fogg is the main guy to come in and take the place of injured Maurice Leggett, who's out for the year with a torn Achilles. But this happened yesterday, I guess, it did happen yesterday on Twitter when it came out that Daron Carter, the receiver for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, who ran into some off-field issues and on-field issues in Montreal and got himself a ticket out of the Montreal Alouettes, went to Regina, of course. And now he sent out some tweets about life's like a box of chocolates. It's the bad ones that'll get you. And then he says, it's been a slice, y'all, as if he's moving on. Then reports come out that there was an altercation at practice yesterday between a defensive back and receiver, Daron Carter. Reports that a coach encouraged them to have a fight. Bakari Grant, the longtime receiver, came in to try and break it up. Another coach tried to settle everything down, but everybody else involved in this wanted to see the fight. And then all this transpires, and then we see Daron Carter later last night tweet out a picture of him and some of his teammates bowling and saying, love you all. Javon Johnson took to Twitter, blamed the media, and asked for some calm in an incident that took 5 to 10 seconds. These things happen in a football season. Let us focus on the task at hand. What is going on in Saskatchewan?
I don't know or think that there's a whole lot of you know, it's not like they're in some sort of chaotic Hamilton Ticats 0-for-8 situation, right? Like they're still scrapping away and look to have a pretty good lock on the crossover. So I don't think a bunch of it's being generated from that sort of mindset that can sometimes permeate a locker room when losing is mounting and all that sort of thing. But you get a guy like Daron Carter who seems to be a bit of a ticking time bomb. And sometimes, and a buddy of mine says, brilliance is seldom pretty, right? So there's always a, you know, you get a guy with the level of talent of Daron Carter, and then there's the cost of him as a guy in your locker room, and it seems to be that there's a possibility for chaos to ensue. And I just seeing Arash Madani's, to me, he was the first guy to break some of the details of it.
Yeah.
And part of what he reported was at least one member of the coaching staff was trying to stop coaches and players from stopping the fight. Like, so it's all, and I'm going to assume that he was a defensive coach and he wanted the defensive player to maybe straighten out Daron Carter and whatever was going on. But even in reading a little bit still about what's maybe left, they're going to address it sometime this morning. But it's seeing that Justin Dunk of Three Down Nation is saying that he still expects, at the very least, for Daron Carter to be suspended or held out of at least one game minimum. So it must have been, man, I've been in situations in the locker room where things can get like scary from a violent standpoint, as far as you're not quite sure just exactly how crazy it's going to get. And it sounds like this was something along those lines.
Well, Arash Madani, who's covering the National League Division Series or National League Championship Series, he's in Chicago. And this is what he reported yesterday, and we want to give him full credit. This is what I was told happened in Saskatchewan as per CFL sources at Rider practice yesterday. This was today, but yesterday. Daron Carter was summoned by a member of the staff to fight Sam Williams at the field. Veteran receiver Bakari Grant, trying to be the voice of reason, was one of the players who tried to break it up. At least one member of the coaching staff was trying to stop coaches and players from stopping the fight from continuing. Postscript, Carter and Grant were then, after the melee, told by at least one club official that they will not play another game in green this season, and the team was in the process of booking them flights out of Regina. Postscript number two, if the team booked flights for players to leave town, by CFL rule, they cannot be suspended. It is unknown if the club officials wanting to suspend the players were aware of this rule. To put either on injury designation, the player would have to sign off on it, or a CFLPA representative would have to do the same. Postscript number three, hard to imagine a scenario where Grant and Carter were booking their own flights out of Regina on the night this happens. The Riders did not immediately respond for comment. Rod Peterson now reporting that no flights had been booked. And then later on last night, Daron Carter tweets out a picture of him and his teammates bowling.
Jeez. Well, to me, though, the one thing I kind of took from this is, do you think this would happen under Mike O'Shea? Any of this stuff?
First thing I said last night, and I went right back to Nick Grigsby, who I met a couple times. I like Nick Grigsby, but a guy who was unhappy with his role, was the star running back at the time on this team, or one of them, and literally said, I want to play more or something. And with three wins that season, he said, there's the door. And it started then, and I look at this team now, and there's no way this would happen under Mike O'Shea.
Yeah, and I don't know about that. Like, I think it would be unlikely, but you can have certain guys in the locker room with fantastic leadership and all the rest of it, and if you have one guy cut from the cloth of Daron Carter who's a little outspoken and brash, and even if he's keeping it reeled in, I think something like this can happen. Like I saw it under all the coaches that I've had, so I think it could happen. But we know that Mike O'Shea and Kyle Walters are like, would they ever bring in a Daron Carter?
Right? Well, that's why I think it wouldn't happen. But even if it did happen, they'd be bowling as non-members of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers that night. I don't think they would be around. I think if this happened and a coaching staff was trying to let it happen, or a member of the staff, I think they both would be.
Well, and that's what Arash reported, right? That they're done, like they're done and gone. But that people seem to have cooled off a little bit about that. And I don't know, I mean, because of a fight and the details could be really disturbing. But fights like this aren't all that unusual. But But for them to get rid, are you going to get, like, we are aware of what Daron Carter did last game, right? Like 11 receptions for 230 plus yards, sort of thing. Like, are you really going to ship him out of the room?
Which makes it easier for him to go and pick fight. What, are you going to cut me?
Yeah,
cut me.
Sam Williams, the guy who's going to fight's on their PR, so someone's going to lose that battle. Yeah.
This guy should be in the NFL. This guy should be catching balls for the Chicago Bears right now because they literally have no receivers. They started three guys who had never started a game in the NFL last.
And you wonder with some of, like, with last year with Cato, the quarterback, this year with this situation with the guy on PR, you wonder if, like, is this part of the equation that keeps him out of the NFL?
And Rod Peterson, who's a great friend of the station, the show's all of ours, it was putting out a story last week when they were in Toronto or wherever they were, Montreal, I forget where, and Chris Carter came in, the all-pro receiver, Hall of Famer, I believe, the father of Daron Carter, and had his own troubles at the start of his career. That's why I don't get this. I don't get that, you know, who knows why a guy is the way he is, but...
Some of the cats are wound up real tight, man.
Yeah, it's... You know?
It's just the way it, and especially I think a sport like football where there's the level of violence and all the rest, although like Daron Carter came from, you know, you'd think what's a fairly privileged upbringing and all the rest of it, but still I just thinking you don't even need to be an athlete. Some people, men or women, are just kind of wired where they're a little bit unpredictable and that sort of thing, right? And a guy like Daron Carter, when you have 50 guys in the locker room, it's possible to have a guy like this, and it's sort of heightened because of the physicality. And you see when he plays angry, right? Like Daron Carter, he's out there. It's one of the things I love watching about him. He catches the ball, and he's the guy levying the hits against the DBs and stuff like that. So he just seems like he's walking that razor's edge sort of thing, and you wonder, you know, can he – causing disruption like this in a locker room, no coaching staff or management is going to like this. Can he reel it in just enough to, as you say, JT, realize his full potential in the NFL? Because certainly that's where he belongs.
Yeah, well, and there's two parts to that. I know they're coming off a loss and a tough loss at that. But one, you're on a winning team and you're heading to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And you can't keep it under control. And two, to Jim's earlier point, if there was a father to have to guide you on the right path of being a pro, whether it be in the NFL or the CFL, Chris Carter would be the perfect one for somebody that maybe is wound too tight or has some attitude character problems. And if Chris Carter can get Daron Carter on track, and a winning team and a playoff team can get Daron Carter on track, what other options does he have? Like, I don't know what that – like, at that point, if he can't figure it out and realize that, hey, maybe a part of this is me and what I'm doing, then he's never going to figure it out. And it's just going to be, unfortunately, a waste of talent, a major, major waste of talent because, like you guys said, he has no business being up here. He really doesn't. He should be – never mind just an NFL player. He should be starting. He should be a top two receiver on not any team, but most teams in the NFL could use – a guy who's 6'3", 6'4", runs like the wind.
6'5".
6'5".
New York Giants couldn't be using this guy
right
now.
He's already 26 years old, right? So if he doesn't make, like, he's getting old already in a way, right? Like, yeah, what's holding you back, young fella?
And that's the interesting part. My point to Rod Peterson said he sat down with Chris Carter, and he was not only gracious with his time, but wanted to talk and answer questions about whatever, delved into everything about the Carters and himself and his son and talked at length. And I just wonder, like, where it sort of is that disconnect between his father and his son. Or and I'm not blaming Chris Carter. I mean, you're an adult and you take responsibility for yourself. But after what went on in Montreal and now this, and the whole – I don't want to – I think sometimes head coach – well, it's your team. And I think sometimes head coaches have to bear the brunt of other things going on. But if there's a member of the coaching staff involved in this – and saying, let this happen, or like, I have no problem. I understand sports, and I get, like, in football, as Javon Johnson said, this stuff happens.
Someone to get their ass kicked.
You might want to just sit there, but to actually encourage it, like, you can pretend, hey, I was tying my shoe and this took place, but to actually sit there and encourage it to happen is a different thing. I've seen coaches go, you know, this guy needs this, my shoe's undone, I'm going to tie it up. I've never seen a coach actually go, let him go, if that's what was going on. in a team environment in professional sports.
And for me, like, with the personality of Jaron Carter and the way he carries himself and projects and all that sort of stuff, it's interesting to me that after a game when you have 11 receptions for 231 yards and, you know, I don't – how are you – you know, what to a guy who thinks a lot of himself already after a game like that, where is he at mentally? What's he projecting? And especially against a guy on the PR who he might may well look at as someone or something considerably less than him, the beacon back and forth that might have been happening. And if that's a defensive coach who thinks, you know what, the Carter's got – somebody needs to pop him in the mouth. I can totally see the way that it would unfold after a week when you grab – you had 231 yards for Jaron Carter and he's just being a bit of a slap D maybe.
Yeah, I mean, to quote the great philosopher Ilya Bryzgalov, why you have been mad? You have 11 catches. Why you have been mad?
And you're right about the poor practice roster guy. Yeah. Like, I'll do it.
Well, and there's nothing like, never mind athlete, there's nothing as an employee or anything like that when, I guess, someone high up on the pecking order treats someone lower on the pecking order like number two just because you have the status, right?
That's the other thing I was going to say that would never happen on a Mike O'Shea team. And if it did, it would end real quick. Mm-hmm. Like, the guy in the practice roster is just important as the guy starting and catching 200 yards the week before. And the whole – and again, it all falls under Chris Jones in the big picture.
And how he massages this will be worth the price of admission today.
Oh. And do you think he relishes this? Like, do you think he's
I think deep down, yeah, I do. Probably he does. Depending on the sort of the, I don't know, the word for the concern with the level of violence involved. You know, because sometimes things get really crazy, man. So so long as it was just a sort of a typical fight in the way things happen in the locker room, I do think, and especially an old school guy like him and just the way that what we think he is, I see this kind of tickling him a little bit.
It is a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Columbus Blue Jackets. Much more coming up in the Royal Sports Power Hour. Up next, though, we're going to delve into the Major League Baseball playoffs. I did not like the way Brandon Ruwicki said the Yankees pounded Astros. Even though they pounded the Astros yesterday, I thought it was like back in my slow pitch days in BCs where the senior team that was going to the senior games would just single hit us to death and get around on the bases. However, we'll discuss the Major League Baseball playoffs. There's two games today, and the NBA starts today. We'll touch on that quickly on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Dedicated to Jaron Carter. Don't you know what you're doing? TSN 1290 is proud to be a part of the iHeartRadio Network. Download the iHeartRadio app and listen to us on all your favorite devices, or go to the Perfect Four section and choose from hundreds of channels to suit any mood or music taste. Your music, your station's always free. Download the iHeartRadio app and get streaming The Big Show with Jim Tulf, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. Royal Sports Power Hour next. We'll start with some Montreal talk with our good friend Mitch Gallo. Dennis Bayek at the bottom of the hour of the NHL news and notes, and your first chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas. 8-1 is how the Yankees pounded the Astros last night. Mr. Morton just couldn't get an out when he needed it most. The bloop singles, the wind in Yankee State. Who built that thing? And they'll go at it again this afternoon. So they climb back into the series, and it's been a good one so far between the Yankees and the Astros.
This is what you expected to happen too, right?
Yeah.
So the starting pitch in that they got to win the first two games, and then you hang on. And
you had to, with Keuchel and Verlander, and especially that one with Verlander with him going nine, you had to win that game because after this, it's Morton. I hear Brad Peacock. And Morton and Brad Peacock have had good seasons, but they're both guys that have been career relievers getting starting opportunities. Lance McCullers Jr. might weigh into this, but once you get past those two aces for the Astros, the starting pitching is suspect, and the Yankees made the most of it and did what they needed to do to get back in this series.
Sabathia is a great story, too, huh?
Oh, great.
For him to come, you know what? I'm not working out anymore. I'm eating whatever. I'm just gonna. That's gonna be my approach here. And he's just kicked into. It's kind of cool, like old school, au naturel. Here I am, and pitching the way he is. It's awesome.
And I forgot that he actually took a step back last year and went into rehab for alcohol and sort of got himself straight and got back to being a very good pitcher, especially at that age. So it's a good story with CC Sabathia as well. The other series continues today with the Dodgers and the Cubs in Chicago. The Dodgers are up 2-0. Can the Cubs climb back into this today?
Suppose they can, but boy, the Dodgers... The Dodgers are looking pretty sharp right now, so I'm gonna say that the Cubs stumble a little bit here with Yu Darvish out there.
I don't know. I like both teams, so I almost don't really even care what happens in that series. Like, I'm just kind of enjoying watching the games there. So Yu Darvish, that's a tough one, and especially I think you'll find out early on the Dodgers bullpen is just terrifying so far this postseason. And if Kenley Jansen gets in, if it's a tie game or if it's a one-run Dodgers lead going into the eighth, you might as well just pack your bags if you're the Dodgers and get ready for the World Series. They're lights out.
It would be real neat, and I know this would hurt you, JT, but it would be cool just from the grandioseness of it to ultimately for the World Series to go Yankees-Dodgers. That would be real neat.
Well, and even with Houston in it, I read it's the four largest markets in the U.S., and any professional franchise wants that come playoff time or the finals, too. Quickly, the NBA starts today. Is it the Golden State Warriors to lose, as Michael Jordan and a lot of people say? Or because I'm intrigued about Oklahoma. I'm intrigued about Houston. There's been some player movement. Boston kicks off tonight in Cleveland with Kyrie Irving going back there. But Michael Jordan says basically it's a one-horse race.
Yeah, and I heard a quasi-serious debate as to whether or not the Golden State Warriors could win the championship with sandals on. it's going to be tough here, right? But the storylines are going to – and tonight, I mean, how much better do you get tonight? Boston, Cleveland, Houston, Golden State, what an opening night.
It's funny how the – I've just never seen a sport like this, but the NBA is almost more intriguing in the offseason than it is during the regular season. Right, because this upcoming offseason, where's LeBron going to go? Is he going to stay? Is he going to bolt?
Like
the NBA has, and it's all because of the Golden State Warriors, which is they must be sitting back watching this, just killing themselves, thinking, look at all these teams and all these players completely change their careers, change their lives because nobody can touch us.
And you got a guy like Greg Popovich from a social standpoint here. I'm really intrigued with the NBA. He goes up and down, Trump something fierce, a five-year member of the Air Force, right? So he's coming at it from a certain angle, going up and down. And the social statement that might be made here early on in the NBA could be really quite remarkable.
And trust the process in Philadelphia. Sixers, here we go, baby. Here we go. Trust the process. Trust the process. Back to hockey on the Royal Sports Power Hour next on the Big Show on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Here, John Dunsworth passed away, huh?
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up, actually.
Mr. Leahy?
It honestly saddened me.
I watched Jay and Dan this morning, and they had, what's his name? The real funny guy that does a bunch of stuff.
Jonathan Torres,
they had him on for a book that he's just written, and it was quite a long segment about it, and they were talking about a bunch of the stuff and about Mr. Leahy and all the rest of it, and how he was like such a long stage actor out east for as long as he was, and how actually in real life, he never drank.
No, he wasn't a drinker.
Role, awesome stories. Yeah, it was really cool.
Well, and people, I'm a fan of the Trailer Park Boys, and several people, including several exes, see that show. They're like, they judge you right away. They're like, I'm out of here. but like, to pull that off, to be that, ridiculous, is brilliant.
Oh, I love that show as well.
And I was very
Bubbles
sad.
Is one of my
about
favorite
it.
All times. forever, yeah.
Mr. Leahy.
I think Leahy was my favorite character on the show.
Oh, yeah?
I was, I was the same way. I was legitimately
number
upset.
Number two rats.
Yeah, I, there's so many number two-isms that I want to unleash.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But I've been trying to
honor him and just deal with the consequences.
I've been trying to find
points.
A CRTC friendly quote, but it's just it's so hard.
I want to just spend the whole week now paying tribute to him by every time you say something, go Brandon, like Randy, Brandon, Brandon, in sports entertainment, Brandon, Mr. Leahy, Brandon. John Dunser, 71 years old, played Mr. Leahy and some other stuff. And he was instrumental being from the East Coast, and there wasn't a lot of people helping actors get jobs and stuff. Started a company, a talent agency, and actually helped Ellen Page become an actress. And, of course, she went on to be – she's in Hollywood now. So John Dunser, Canadian – can we say icon?
Yes. Anyone
a
associated
of Canadiana,
to
the sure.
Trailer yeah. Park Boys is iconic, no doubt.
I am the liquor. This segment is brought to you by Olympic Homes, and it is Mr. Lou Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Blue Jackets tonight at 7 on the station, and it kicks off for you, well, right now here on the Big Show, the Don Vito Roundtable. I have the latest on the lineup starting at 11, and then live from Boss Pizza City Place, 3 o'clock, the afternoon ride with Rick Ralph and Andrew Hustler Patterson, and then, of course, the pregame show with Kevin Olszewski and friends, and puck drops at 7. We'll have all the details throughout the program today on that. We want to welcome into the program now from TSN 960 in Montreal, Mr. Mitch Gallo. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Good morning, guys.
How many episodes of Trailer Park Boys have you seen?
I've seen a lot of them. The thing about it is I've seen them all a long time ago. It's like I went through a Trailer Park Boys phase in my life, and I guess it was a stage where I guess I was in late in high school and then early in my university days, and I saw pretty much all the episodes then. And then I haven't watched the show in about, 4 or 5 years, but definitely seen a good handful of episodes. And Mr. Leahy, out of all the characters on that show, has to be my top two, I'd say.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with you. We all had that phase where, I mean, there were so few episodes a year that once you crushed them all, you were kind of like you moved on. But they definitely were a big part of our lives. Thanks for joining us again. Good to talk to you. And I'm just wondering what the atmosphere is like in Montreal with the start to the season the Canadians have had.
Atmosphere is kind of an atmosphere of trepidation, I guess, is how I would put it. I mean, not the start that Canadian fans are used to. Especially considering the fact that the last couple of years, the Canadians out of the gates were among the best starters in the NHL. And now, you see them with a win in their first game and unable to win every game since. And I guess maybe the most concerning thing for Canadian fans so far this year is the fact that in past years, their biggest strengths have been on the back end. So it was the defense and it was Carey Price. Whereas so far this year, I mean, goal scoring with this team has always been an issue, but their strength doesn't seem to be a strength anymore because the defense looks like it's slower, not as mobile, and not as efficient as moving the puck. And Carey Price, if you look at it game by game by game, well, in game one, he was the better of the two goaltenders and the Canadiens won. But after that, he was out-goaltended by Brendan Holpe. He was out-goaltended by Henrik Lundqvist, he was out-goaltended by Corey Crawford, and he was out-goaltended on Saturday night by Frederik Andersen. And if the Canadiens are going to get the second-best goaltender every night, they're not going to win very many games because they need their best players to be their best players.
Is there also a sizable element of some bad luck here maybe for Montreal, Mitch? I just saw like the overall team shooting percentage is at 4% when the league average typically hovers around 9%, and seeing that their possession numbers are real strong, are they maybe just a little bit snake bit right now?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, if you look at it, I believe they're third in the league as far as shots on goal are concerned, and they're 31st in the league in save percentage. They haven't gotten any bounces, that's for sure. And most of those games I was talking about, the other goaltender was the reason why the other team won. Especially, I really thought they played strong in their home opener Tuesday night against Chicago, and I really thought Price had a bad game in their second game at the Bell Center against the Maple Leafs. But at the same time, if you look at those things, The Canadians, they have a tough time scoring goals, shooting percentage-wise. Like, a lot of those in-tight chances, they just don't seem to have the type of players that are able to bear down and bury those chances. But, I mean, if you want to talk about luck, I think you could look at the goal totals of some of their players that typically score goals early on, whether it's Max Pacioretty, who has only one so far, or Jonathan Drouin, who just scored his first goal of the season, or Alex Galchenyuk, who just scored his first goal of the season, or Paul Byron, who scored 22 goals last year, who hasn't scored yet, or Turi Lehkonen, who scored 18 goals last year and hasn't scored yet. I mean, there are some guys on this team that offensively, yeah, sure, the bounces are going to start to go their way and they're going to fill the net a little bit. But I do think that still scoring goals with this team, regardless of how many shots on goal we take, it's going to be a challenge for them.
You know, on paper, on the ice, everywhere, Jonathan Drouin seems to be a great fit for the Montreal Canadiens. But the pressure that comes with this and the contract he signed, what's he been like so far this year? I know he got his first goal, but both on the ice, off the ice, how has he handled everything?
Yeah, I think he's been really good, and he's the type of guy. I think I've watched him play since midget hockey, since he's from Montreal. So I've seen him for a while. He's the type of guy that kind of relishes under the pressure. Like, I don't think the spotlight in Montreal or the contract or anything like that is going to factor into the way he plays. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders, and he's going to be able to kind of weather all that stuff as it comes. As far as on the ice play is concerned, he's been really good. He's been among their best players. Offensively, obviously, the numbers don't jump off the page right now. But you also got to remember that he's trying to figure out how to play center for pretty much the first time in his career as a full-time NHL centerman. And I think some of the responsibilities defensively, he's handling it well, but it's factoring into what he's able to do on the offensive side of the puck. And I think that might, lessen as the season goes, and he'll be able to put up bigger offensive numbers. But right now, I mean, he's got that extra pressure of playing under Claude Julien, who wants everyone to be very responsible defensively. So that might factor into why his offensive numbers aren't spectacular just at this point.
Mitch, last year and the year previous, Alex Galchenyuk averaged 0.7 points per game and had positive possession numbers. I don't watch a pile of Habs games, but when I can, I do. And it seems mystifying to me as to why he's so harshly treated there and so under the microscope. Is him down on the fourth line right now, this is a hot topic for sure in Montreal and anybody paying attention to the Habs. Is he deserving of the situation right now and where he fits with the organization and Claude Julien?
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, you talk about a lot of those stats, and I think he was eighth in league scoring at one point last year, and then the Canadians went out to the West Coast and they played a game against the LA Kings, and he clips into Lance Kopitar and suffers a knee injury and misses over a month of hockey. Maybe comes back a little bit too early, and then he's never the Alex Galchenyuk that we saw at the beginning of the season from that moment on. Of course, the Canadians also made changes in house, firing coach Therrien, who everyone thought wasn't fair with Galchenyuk, and then Julien comes in, and he's pretty much even a harsher critic. But if you put last year in the past and you look at only what's happened so far this year, he got an opportunity out of training camp to play on the second line with Philip Danault, who was the Canadiens' best center last year. I know he's not this year, but he was their top guy last year, and an okay player in Andrew Shaw, and things just didn't click, and he found his way tumbling down to the fourth line. But right now, is it fair? Yes, it's fair, because you look at Alex Galchenyuk's game, he's a lost puppy out there at times. When he has the puck, he'll shoot when he should pass, he'll pass when he should shoot, and he doesn't make any one-on-one moves, and he's been turning over the puck. And Coach Julien is hoping that by putting him on the fourth line, the matchup games are going to be a little bit easier. You're going to get a ton of time on the power play to try to produce offensively, and maybe if the puck starts going in for him, the confidence will raise, and those things about making the wrong play at the wrong time is going to evaporate from his game. But there's no question Galchenyuk's fighting it right now. And I don't think it has anything to do with the way he's treated here in Montreal by the media, the fans, or the coach. I think this is more on Alex Galchenyuk needing to step up and just be a better player.
Mitch Gallo from TSN 960 joining us on the Big Show this morning on the Royal Sports Power Hour here on TSN 1290, 16 minutes past the hour. Right before we let you go, Mitch, I know it's early, literally. It's only five games into the season, but if we go to 10 games and it's the same thing in 15, what changes, if anything, in Montreal do you see happening?
Well, you know, that's really hard to say because, you know, the coach is new. So, you know, the coach is safe. He just signed a five-year extension when he came into town last year. When they let go of Therrien, I don't think anything will happen at the GM position. He's also on a pretty fresh contract, and I really don't think that's a move ownership would make at this time. And then we know that making trades in season is relatively hard to do. Now, maybe they want to shake things up and bring in a Matt Duchene, and we know that their name has been in that discussion since the summer when everyone knew that Duchene was available. But what would the Canadiens do if the start doesn't improve after 10, 15 games of the season? I absolutely have no idea because with where they're at management, coaching-wise, and then contract-wise with a bunch of the players, they're kind of backed into a corner, and they're just hoping for the best right now. I don't see much change in the short term being available for them if they get off to a poor start here.
Mitch, we appreciate your time as always. Good to talk to you, and I know we'll do it again real soon.
All right, cool, guys. Thanks.
Take care, brother.
Mitch Gallo of TSN 960 talking to the Montreal Canadiens with us here in the Royal Sports Power Hour. Dennis Bayak is going to join us to talk Jets at the bottom of the hour. But up next on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day, Jets and Jackets tonight at 7 on TSN 1290. Next is your chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
A reminder, our previous segment with Mitch Gallo was a presentation of Olympic Homes, ready-to-move specialists. Tour their homes in person or online at olympichomes.ca. The Big Show on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day and your chance to qualify. 12th caller through right now for TSN 1290s and redtag.ca's presentation of Hockey Nights in Vegas. We're sending five lucky listeners and their guests to Las Vegas this November, where they'll see the Winnipeg Jets take on the Vegas Golden Knights Friday, November 10th at T-Mobile Arena in Sin City. We'll supply return airfare to and from Vegas, free parking at Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, courtesy of Park and Fly, two hockey tickets to the Jets and Golden Knights on the 10th of November at, once again, T-Mobile Arena, the home of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Four nights accommodations right on the strip and $1,290 in cash to help you cover a few extras during your stay down in Sin City. Listen for your chance to qualify and win weekdays at 7:15 a.m., 8:15 a.m. right here on The Big Show, 12:15 p.m. on the Don Vito Roundtable with Kevin Olszewski, 5:15 p.m. with the Afternoon Ride with Hustler and Rick Ralph, or watch for bonus chances to qualify online. Winners will be announced Monday mornings on The Big Show. Next grand prize announcements coming up on October the 23rd, and then our fifth and final grand prize draw will be on Monday, November the 6th. For more information, check out tsn1290.ca. Hockey Nights in Vegas, presented by redtag.ca, where Canada shops for great travel deals, and us here at TSN 1290. 12th caller through. We'll get to that. Remind you that it is a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Jackets on the station live tonight at 7 with Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns on the call. Afternoon Ride goes live from Boss Pizza City Place today, 3 till 6 with Hustler and Rick. Mantua will Building Trades pregame show live from BP City Place at 6 with Kevin Olszewski, and then Olszewski and Friends will be back right after the game with the Huron Windows postgame show, also live from BP City Place. I heard, and I'm pretty sure this is factual from my source, that Mr. Olszewski and the crew stayed a little later after the postgame show at BP City Place on Saturday.
Wow, yeah. Shut her down, maybe.
Had some fans and some crew around and some people that were listening to the show, and they all stuck around and had a great time with Andrew and the great staff down at Boston Pizza.
Some unconfirmed sources?
Unconfirmed sources. Huh. No word of whether Mr. Leahy had one last one there.
And John Dunsworth, the actor who played Mr. Leahy, passed away yesterday at the age of 71. But yes, Boss Pizza City Place, great place to take in not only the game, but of course the pre- and post-game shows with Kevin Olszewski and friends. Mr. Rewicki, who is our 12th caller through today?
This fine gentleman could not join us, stuck in traffic right now.
Uh-huh.
But it is Mr. Derek Honeygon.
Derek Honeygon?
Honey pot!
Honey gone? Honey here? Honey stay?
Nice.
Honey gone. Derek. All right. Derek Honeygon is going to go over very well in Vegas.
Yes.
If it wasn't for Walter Payton, he'd be the sweetness.
Oh.
That's too bad.
Oh, Derek, could you imagine? Do you have ID, sir? Honeygon got ID, baby. Honeygon right here with his ID. Congratulations, Derek, and we thank you for listening. Just for qualifying, you get a Jets Gear gift card, and you are in for our next two grand prize draws. This coming Monday, October the 23rd, is our fourth grand prize draw and our fifth and final one on November 6th. We'll remind everybody to go to TSN1290.ca for more information. And, of course, we're taking a lot of questions on people who keep calling and say, how do I qualify? Well, you can also pay attention to our social medias. The TSN 1290 Facebook page will be qualifying more people on there as well. So congratulations, Derek. Thanks for listening. And we'll do it again at 8:15 this morning here on the big show on TSN 1290. Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Blue Jackets tonight. The start of two straight at home for the Winnipeg Jets before they head out on the road. Minnesota is here Friday. Steve Mason gets the start. Kyle Connor's called up. Matthew Perreault on the IR for at least 4 weeks. Dmitry Kulikov is expected to be out of the lineup for 2 weeks. But the way he practiced yesterday, Paul Maurice thinks it could be sooner. But Tucker Poolman gets to draw back in the lineup. Will play on the left side tonight.
I was wondering how they're going to deal with that. We've seen Sherratt play on the left side before. And also, we were made aware prior to his arrival that Poolman had the capabilities of playing both sides. So a fantastic opportunity here for him. Keep the game simple and have another good night out there against a heck of a test in the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, they're not as deep as they were last year when they had that fourth line of Gagne and Hartnell, but they're every bit as dangerous. And you look at their top four on defense, too, when you can roll out, you know, David Savard on the second pairing and then have your top guys as Werenski and Jones. And by the way, the Vezina winner, too. So that's nice, right? Columbus comes in scoring a bunch, and then they got a guy back there that can rip off, you know, a 40-save performance without breaking a sweat.
We'll delve into this one extensively with Mr. Dennis Bayak next on The Big Show and the Royal Sports Power Hour, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Our province is packed with shining stars in the world of sports, and every week, TSN 1290 would like to showcase and reward these individuals who are making a big impact and difference in what they do. Nominate a Manitoban athlete, coach, or volunteer who is dedicated to making their sport matter. Every Friday, right here on The Big Show, we'll showcase a Subway Sports Star of the Week and reward him or her with a $50 Subway gift card. Visit TSN1290.ca to nominate your sports star, and we could be featuring them very soon. The Royal Sports Power Hour on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki with you, and the puck drops tonight at 7 on TSN 3 and right here on TSN 1290 between the Blue Jackets and the Winnipeg Jets. And we welcome in the face of the Jets on TSN 3 and one of the main voices here on 1290, Mr. Dennis Bayak. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
How has the start of the season been for you with the team being 3-2?
Well, you know what? It's always better when the games are exciting, and we had lots of goals the first two games, so you had goals to call, even though they were for the wrong team, if you're a Jets supporter. And after that, they buckled it down and played very well defensively and had a good road trip. So the game at Edmonton was really good. The game in Vancouver was a different style game. And then, you know, the game here against Carolina the other day was kind of what was expected, that it wasn't going to be a wide-open affair. We had Justin Williams on at the end of the second period, and he talked about how they were a little rusty. They hadn't played since Tuesday, and the Jets coming back from the West Coast, I think, found a way to win that game.
Dennis, the onslaught of goals that we saw in the first couple of games, I can only recall thinking one of them that Steve Mason would like to have back when the kind of got through him. I thought there were moments in those first couple of games when he was just flat out brilliant out there, and the third, fourth shot would beat him. He'd real raw deal early on here for him, and a great opportunity tonight.
Yeah, it really is. Chance for him to get to play with his teammates that have certainly been better defensively. They've handled the puck better. Their puck management has been a lot better. They played in straight lines, as they like to say, and so good for him that he gets back in there tonight against his former team. So an opportunity for him to maybe see a bit of a different team in front of him. You know, you go through the preseason, there's different players playing. The NHL was cracking down on slashing. There was lots of power plays. And I think it maybe was a bit tough on goaltenders. I think it's always tough on goaltenders when you're coming into a new system. You're learning what the defensemen do. You're learning, how your forwards come back and everything else that goes along with it. So good chance for him to bounce back tonight and start working on getting those numbers down.
Dennis, how has the start of the season been for Steve? Because he's a veteran and he understands, you know, what took place in the first two games and the things that this team is focusing on, but obviously not the way he would like to start with a new team. How's it been for him the first couple of weeks?
Well, I think any time you come into a new organization, you don't like when it starts this way. You're trying to impress. It's that old adage, you only get the one opportunity to make a first impression, and he made some big saves in that first period against Toronto, and then all of a sudden a couple of backdoor tap-ins that you certainly couldn't fault the goaltenders for, and the game gets away on you. So, I mean, he would have liked to have come in after the game and made 60 saves and had the Jets win it 4-3 or 3-2 or whatever. But unfortunately, you don't get the script the way it goes. But you're right. He's a 10-year veteran in the National Hockey League. He's certainly seen, or closing in on 10 years, he's certainly seen ups and downs, whether it be with Columbus. He talked during preseason and training camp about how, you know, some dark days in Columbus there where he wasn't sure he was going to continue. The National Hockey League, things weren't going very well, went on to Philadelphia, and certainly Jeff Reese in Philadelphia and that organization certainly got him back, into being a National Hockey League netminder, and now he comes here, and it certainly wasn't the start he was looking for. But you're right, he's seen ups and downs, and he'll handle this too.
Dennis, in high-level sports, injuries always equal opportunity for someone. Kyle Connor here could really do something quite remarkable in changing and making a massive impact on the Jets going forward, should he be productive during this opportunity.
Well, you just go back to the Vegas game the other night. They're down some people, so they bring in Alex Tuck and Vadim Sipishev, and first NHL games, they get their first NHL goals, so kind of a similar situation here, although Kyle Connor has more NHL experience than those guys did, but an opportunity for him to play in a role that he has to excel at. Not like he's coming in to be a fourth line guy. He's coming in, he's probably going to get some power play time. He's going to play in the top six. He's going to play with Brian Little and Patrick Laine, two guys that, one guy's a veteran, the other guy is a proven goal scorer in the National Hockey League despite being 19 years of age. So, he's going to get the opportunity, and now it's up to him to come in, and he's going to get chances. I don't think there's any question that he's going to get some chances because of his speed and because of his offensive abilities. Now it's up to him to bury those chances because when all is said and done, as we've talked about before, this is kind of a results business, and if he can find the back of the net and put in a good, solid effort, that's certainly going to give him an opportunity to stay here.
You know, you never wish for somebody like Perreault to be out of the lineup for 4 weeks, Dennis, but this is not only a chance for Kyle Connor, but an extended one, so that it's not like 2 to 3 games and you have to sort of do something immediately. Do you feel like he'll be given an ample opportunity over the next couple of weeks to solidify a roster spot?
I would think so. I mean, there's certainly other guys who would like to get that opportunity to play there, but I think they're going to give him the opportunity. He went down to the Moose last year and racked up some real good numbers and even when he got sent down this year, from what Paul Maurice said yesterday, and we just heard the clip, that he went down there, he played hard, practiced hard, and that's what you want. Don't go down there and sulk. That's not going to do you any good. And he went down there with the right attitude, knowing that he was going to get the other opportunity, because in today's NHL, injuries do happen. So, I think he's going to get some games there. Unfortunately, the schedule doesn't help him a whole lot. If he has a good game tonight, it's not like they're right back at it tomorrow. They're kind of in a stretch here where they play two games in 11 days. So There's not a lot of hockey, and same goes for Tucker Pullman with Dmitry Kulikov out. He's maybe the guy that's going to get hurt the most because without games, Dmitry Kulikov maybe ready to go as early as Friday. So, but there's injuries in today's NHL, and the way the guys shoot the puck and the way teams play, players block shots, and we're seeing more and more over the last 4, 5, 6 years of players getting hurt by blocking shots.
Dennis, short-term, a team can survive a lack of production from parts of their team, but when you're talking long-term here, the fact that the Jets and their bottom six has yet to score a point in five-on-five situations, that has got to change going forward.
Yeah, it does. I mean, we haven't really seen the combinations that they would like yet. That may be a small part of it, but only a small part of it. You're right. You need some production from the bottom end. You need guys to get you those goals, whether it be at home, whether it be on the road, whether it be early, whether it be late. They get the opportunities, and they worked at that a little bit of practice yesterday. And just to simplify those bottom six, get pucks to the net, get people to the net, and look for deflections, look for greasy goals, look for screens, whatever the case may be. So try and simplify that a little bit. Don't get too cute with the puck. Keep in mind that your job is still to go out there and try and, whether it be to change momentum, have a couple of good shifts, and we certainly saw that in the Carolina game where those bottom two lines came out and had some good shifts and probably helped turn things around a little bit. So, but yes, you need production from everybody in today's National Hockey League, and that's what they say. They did spend some time yesterday practice on that, crashing the net, put people to the net, look for loose pucks, and we'll see what happens in the game here tonight.
Dennis Bayak joining us this morning on the Big Show on the Royal Sports Power Hour on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day, TSN 1290, Jets and Blue Jackets tonight at 7. Tell us what you expect from this Columbus team that the Jets are going to see twice over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, the schedule is interesting. They got Minnesota twice, Dallas twice, Columbus twice, Pittsburgh twice, all over the next 10, 11 games here. So it's kind of an interesting schedule for the Jets. Blue Jackets aren't surprising anybody anymore. They maybe surprised some teams last year, ended up with a very good season, made the playoffs for only the third time. John Tortorella won the Coach of the Year honors. And this is a team that's very well balanced, very tough to play against. They don't give you much. And if Sergei Bobrovsky gets the starting goal tonight, you've got a goaltender that's as good as there is in the National Hockey League. So we'll see what they choose to do from that standpoint. But, they've got a couple guys that are banged up. We'll see what their lineup looks like. I don't think Boone Jenner's back in the lineup yet, but this organization has done a good job drafting, and they've done a good job developing, just as the Jets have. There's lots of first picks in this game tonight, but this Columbus team is a definite contender, not just for a playoff spot, but to go deep in the playoffs.
Dennis, what do you think the ceiling is for Nikolaj Ehlers?
Well, you know what? Anytime you can skate the way he can, you're going to get opportunities, and then it's just a matter of burying them. I think it was into December last year before he got his fifth goal of the season, and he's at that mark right now, and a good honor for him yesterday to be named player of number one star of the week in the National Hockey League. And you know what? It's hard to tell, because as the game changes, he's one of those guys that can change with the game, because all the changes are made to help the offensive players, and he's an offensive player, so we don't know what the top end could be, but anytime you've got that kind of skill, you just look at his junior numbers. Will we ever see NHL players get to those types of numbers? I'm not sure, just because of the travel and the rigors of the schedule, but this guy's going to be a big time point producer, and as rules change, he's going to get more and more scoring opportunities. So who knows?
Dennis, what do you think of Jacob Trouba's start to this season, and especially being at a contract year for him?
Well, really, the last since the Edmonton game on, he's been very good, just like the rest of the team. I mean, they kind of buckled it down after those first two games. Even the Calgary game wasn't bad. I mean, the game got away on them a little bit in the latter part of the second period. Other than that, they played well. And then once you start chasing the game, everything changes, and you're on the road, and the Calgary crowd got fired up, and the next thing you know, that one got away from them. But Paul Maurice put Morrissey and Trouba back together for the Edmonton game. They were very good, and they've been very good since. So You know, good on him to bounce back after a bit of a slow start. You know, I think, I don't know, the preseason this year, I've heard more coaches talk about it than this year, than at any time, that it just seemed the players were just wanted to get the season going and felt that the preseason and all the games were just too many and too long and everything else. And yet you have to, as an organization, you have to play those games. You have to see your young players. You have to see players that you've signed as unrestricted free agents. You have to give them that opportunity. But, you know, from game three on, Jacob Trouba's been very good. You know, we go back to his, there's an offensive player there, and, you know, he's getting some power play time, and I think we'll see his offensive numbers go up, but he'll be the first to tell you that number one for that entire defensive core is to keep those goals against down and get the puck up and let the forwards do what they can do.
This should be a good one tonight at Bell MTS Place. Thanks for doing this, Dennis, and have a great call.
Gentlemen, thank you. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Thanks so much, Dennis.
See you, Troy.
Mr. Lou, Winnipeg Jets game day. Your NHL news and notes are next on the Royal Sports Power Hour on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
You wanted it back and we caved. TSN 1290 wants to better your basement with a host of cool add-ons. This time there are two caves to choose from, the Man Cave or the Mam Cave. The Man Cave includes a $500 men's Burton Gear shopping spree from Alter Ego Sports. The Mam Cave has a $500 women's Burton Gear shopping spree from Alter Ego Sports. Both caves come with a pizza night for 10, courtesy of Boston Pizza. The Man Cave has two tickets to the upcoming UFC Fight Night, December 16th at Bell MTS Place. The Mam Cave has two tickets to Shania Twain's Now Tour, May 13th at Bell MTS Place. Both come with a Winnipeg Jets guys or girls night out, including two tickets to an upcoming 2017-18 home game at Bell MTS Place and a customized Winnipeg Jets hockey jersey puck party. A rink water, nice rink, rink in a box, the industry standard for outdoor rink starter kits as well in both Man and Mam Caves. To select your cave of choice, go online at tsn1290.ca. We'll randomly draw a winner of each for each prize package on Monday, October the 30th. That's the day before Halloween. I was, you know, my Halloween costume was...
I am fearful of this. What is it?
McGregor in the red turtleneck with the white fur coat.
Oh, really?
Fake fur,
of
course.
Going as McGregor.
Fake fur coat. I read a story, and the quote was from him. He had a baby in March and another one in May. Mm-hmm. And then when asked about it, he said, "We worked it out. It's fine."
We worked it out.
But anyways, I now might choose to, and I'm, of course, being silly because I never dress up for Halloween or haven't for years, but maybe go as Mr. Leahy.
Oh.
I will contribute to that. And I will, wherever you're at, I will try and go out of my way to attend.
Will you go as Randy?
Well, I need a wig, I guess, huh?
Bubbles?
Bubbles.
No?
I would probably lead to more... I could see Troy as Julian for sure.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But then I'd have to stumble around and go, "You're looking sexy in that shirt, Troy," and I don't want to do that at all. At all. John Dunsworth, 71 years old, played Mr. Leahy, passed away yesterday, so we're just paying a little bit of tribute to him on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day.
Hey, before the 20 game mark is when. You don't get anywhere. It's early, though, right? Like, that's the official death of the it's early thing. So that's about the third week of October, I guess. When that I believe. Like, for the Jets, I think it's like the week of the 20th that it will be put to bed. So a bit of a countdown for the...
November, you mean, right?
I'm sorry, yes, yeah, November, okay. Before so we get out of this, it's still early, yada, yada.
Yeah, and it literally is. I mean, we're talking 5-6 games into the season. If this isn't early, I don't know what is. But I understand the whole sentiment that it's never too early. Points now
is when you need to rack them up, because that helps you at the end of the year, of course. Yeah. I'm stating the obvious.
And right now the Jets are in a wild card spot, right?
Yes.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, they currently are 3-2. Well, let's do that. Six games to go. Well, eight games. The next eight games literally are against Dallas, Columbus, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh. They're 3-2 right now. Add in those eight games. What's a acceptable record for you after these next eight?
After the next eight?
If they split each two sets with each team, is that enough? Or do they need to win six of the next eight? I mean, obviously, that would be great. But what's realistic here? I mean, I look at the schedule. I'm very interested to see what they get done tonight against Columbus.
So the next eight, the last two games of that is Dallas and Montreal?
It's Dallas twice. It's Columbus, Minnesota, then they go on the road to Pittsburgh, Columbus, then they come home for Pittsburgh, then they go to Minnesota, and then the first game in November is against Dallas. Yeah, you're right, and then Montreal.
So it's nine games then.
And then Dallas, yeah.
Okay.
So Montreal's mixed
that's,
in there.
Yeah, and that's a real tough go, isn't it? Like, when Montreal is the easy spot on the bingo card, and Minnie's just been snake bit something.
Minnesota
fierce,
hasn't
right?
started
up.
Well. Dallas is, you know, not the start I would presume they want. So
yeah. I don't know. Like, with how tough that is, if you go 5-4, is that?
Yeah.
I guess
it depends.
Set
at 8-6 after 14.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there, maybe with an OT loss mixed in.
I think minimum 5-4, yeah. Or points in 5-6 of them is acceptable. Anything better than that is great.
You need to be above 500 if you want to be a playoff team. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Right? So they have to be.
By ways.
Yeah.
I really, right?
But I think even being 8-6 or having eight wins and then whatever combination of OT losses along the way.
You're not playing your way out of anything if they're 8-6.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
That's what I think is acceptable. I think that's...
I agree.
You're hanging around there. Anything less than that is you're going to have to do some damage further down the season.
But holy cow, what a test over those nine games. When Montreal, you look at it, you go, yeah, Montreal's probably the weakest opponent there. And you got some like heavy-duty divisional situation with Minnie and Dallas early on, right? These are those points that we talk about early in the season when you start looking back in March and all the rest of it and lamenting losses or wondering what the ifs and buts and candies and nuts and all the rest of it. Hey, this is it right now.
Yeah. Here's the next interesting part of the schedule for me. After those next nine games, twice Dallas, twice Minnesota, twice Columbus, twice Pittsburgh and Montreal, it's Vegas, Arizona, Philly, New Jersey.
Oof.
And given the history of this team, those are the teams that they always, you know,
like you,
have
you,
a little
you
bit
withstand
of a
the beating you get from Philly, and then you win those other four games, right?
But and no disrespect to Philly, but New Jersey's off to a hot start, but they're not a playoff team in my mind. Vegas is off to a really good start; they're not a playoff team in my mind, and neither is Arizona. So, if you can get through this next nine and have 8 points, you know,
maybe five and four,
maybe 6-3. Or maybe 5-4-1, then you face Vegas, Arizona twice, Philly, New Jersey, and then you go on a trip that goes to Nashville, L.A., Anaheim, and San Jose, and you come home and host Minnesota. So those five games in there against perennial non-playoff teams the past couple of seasons is just as important, I think, as the next nine.
The Coyotes Arena might be locked up and closed by then. Did you guys see that game against Detroit?
No.
Where it was just an outrageously overwhelming, it looked like a Detroit home game.
Wasn't that a practice?
It's unbelievable.
I want to get to this in the NHL news and notes before we move on. Erik Karlsson returns to the lineup tonight. Guy Boucher calls him the best player in the National Hockey League right now. But Kevin Hrushevsky had a guy on from our Ottawa station, TSN 1200, yesterday who said literally on the post-game show they took calls that maybe they shouldn't bring him back into the lineup because they're playing so well right now and give him more chance to rest.
Well, he's either 100% or he's not, right?
But they also didn't want to disturb chemistry. They did not want Erik Karlsson some calls on the Ottawa Senators post-game show to come back in the lineup to disrupt chemistry.
That's... I can only describe that as comical, right? If he's ready to go, then I yesterday on the seventh day, God rested. On the eighth day, he created Erik Karlsson. So it's hey, they for some people were most everyone was thinking Ottawa was dead and done with Carlson out of the lineup early on. They end up going 3-0-2 during that stretch. Only an absolute fool would want, yeah, let's wait. Let's not disrupt the chemistry, right?
I don't know what you can do to make 25
chemistry
minutes,
that much better, but when you got Erik Karlsson on the outside looking in, come on now.
Yeah, we got to keep feeding Mark Borowiecki some of these heavy minutes here to make sure Erik Karlsson, yeah, it's not even worth discussing, really. If you don't want Erik Karlsson back, then you don't really understand hockey.
Our Boston Pizza fan line itself will be open at 9 o'clock. Lots to get to on that. But up next, we'll go back to the CFL. Mr. Milt Stegall joins the Big Show on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day here on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. The afternoon ride live from Boston Pizza City Place with Andrew Hustler-Patterson and Rick Ralph from 3 till 6. Kevin Olszewski and friends have the Manitoba Building Trades pregame show 6 till 7 live from BP City Place. Jets and Blue Jackets tonight at 7 on TSN 1290 with Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns on the call. And then the Huron Windows postgame show will wrap it all up for you. Jason Cole from the Bleacher Report is going to talk NFL with us at the bottom of the hour. We have your next chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas coming up. We'll hear more from Mr. Paul Maurice and then open the Boss Pizza fan line for an hour of your phone calls on the Jets lineup and everything going on with the Blue Bombers as well as they return to practice today and get your thoughts on the drama going on with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. To talk CFL with us, we welcome back Blue Bombers legend and a big part of the CFL and TSN panel, Mr. Milt Stegall. How are you, sir?
How you doing?
Very well. Are you drama-free since 73, not like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
Well, you know what? I think Chris Jones likes that. I think he likes his team getting attention. Good or bad, they're getting attention. And, you know, I think he enjoys that. I think Deron Carter actually enjoys it, too. You see how he is on social media and Twitter. He never stops, you know, reacting to fans regardless of what they're saying to him. So I think everyone involved over there, I think they enjoy it a little bit. And it's nothing, you know, no criminal acts or no one getting any type of trouble, you know, as far as the police or anything like that goes. So I don't know how much of a problem it actually is.
Do you think, still reading that, say, from Justin Dunk, that folks are still expecting him to maybe be sat out this game? And I was saying, Milt, like, you see something sometimes transpire in the locker room, and, you know, you never know. Things are always sort of on the edge. You're never quite sure about how serious and potentially violent things could get. But are you at all concerned with things happening in Montreal last year and then whatever outburst this is all about? Any concern from that standpoint?
Well, like you talked about, the common denominator is Deron Carter. You know, what happened in Montreal last year, big reason why he's not there anymore. Now what's happening in Saskatchewan, he's always in the middle of it. But you know, Troy, and anybody who knows, who's been around football, who's played football, if you're an elite player, your leash around your neck is a lot longer than players who aren't elite. He'll continue playing. If he sat down this week, it has to be something drastic. I can't see Chris Jones sitting him down, especially going against the team they're going against. I can't see him doing that. I would be very surprised. And if that's the case, there's something serious going on if Deron Carter ain't been playing this week. The man is talented. Yeah, every now and then he'll get in some trouble. He'll do something that maybe some people don't like, but the man is talented. So I think because that talent will override, will supersede everything, I'll be surprised if he's not playing this week.
Milt, how big of a loss is Maurice Leggett to the Bombers, not only at that position, but just everything that he brings to the organization?
That's big. That's big. And, you know, it's almost personal for me. I've been knowing Mo for a while. His older cousin and I are good friends. I mean, his sister has babysitted my kids and everything. So it was a little personal, but that's a big loss. He's not only the best defensive player on that team, he's one of the best in the CFL. And his position he plays is the most important on the defensive side. You know, you think about somebody who's one plays trying to tackle elude an offensive lineman and tackle a running back on the next play. You're covering one of the top receivers. So that's an important position right there. So now they're going to have to fill that role with someone. You're not going to fill his shoes, but hopefully you can put somebody in there who can somewhat soften the blow that they're going to feel from losing him.
And Darvin Adams, it looks like the Bombers are going to be without him for a little while. You feel the Bombers are deep enough to overcome the loss of Adams?
We'll see. We'll see, because he's having an all-star year. He's one of the top five receivers right now in the CFL. You know, he's been doing it. And I said this last night, his only nemesis is injury. When he's on the field, he's a beast. He's to be reckoned with. He's their deep threat. He's not afraid to catch that tough ball across the middle. He's been doing it all for this team. So it's unfortunate that he's injured again, and these injuries are happening at bad times. It's never a good time, but if you're getting injured early on in the year, like the Eskimos were, you see they're trying to get their guys back now and they're going into a rhythm. The Bombers are bad timing with these injuries. You never want to get injured, but these injuries are bad timing. But hopefully they can overcome them. This is where Cal Walters and Danny McManus, we're going to see how talented and what type of eye they have for talent, because now they have to replace these guys because they're going into the playoffs in a few weeks.
I've enjoyed the discussion between you and Matt Dennegan about who's the best team in the CFL. And, it, you know, when Edmonton was 7-0, that was a great debate. And Calgary, clearly, by far, is still the best team. But how good are they this year, Milt, given the fact that their defense is really good, but they haven't even come close some to games to putting up the amount of points you would expect?
Well, my thing is they're winning.
Okay.
They have the same amount of wins that they had. It doesn't matter how you get them. I know Bo Levi Mitchell is not playing the way he did last year. It really doesn't matter how you win. They're winning games. The same amount they won last year. You know, the focus last year was their offense was so dominating. Bo was so dominant. He was MOP. But regardless of how you're winning games. So how can you not say they are the best team or they're better last year than they were this year? They have the exact same record, so they're just as good as me this year as they were last year. The bottom line is winning games.
Milt, the Hamilton Tiger Cats have three games left. Zach Collaros is under contract for next year. How do you think that the Tiger Cats should manage this situation with the games remaining with Zach Collaros?
I think they're just going to ride out Mazzoli. I think he's going to be their guy. They're going to give him as much run as they can. They're going to probably bring in some younger guys, not younger guys, but different guys, just to see if they want to bring these guys back next year for training camp. But I think Mazzoli is their guy. And I think it's up to June Jones if he wants to come back. Why wouldn't you ride those guys? The way they finished after they started 0-8, the fact that they had an opportunity to make the playoffs when they inserted those guys, it is those guys' jobs. If they want to have it, they can have it. Mazzoli's a free agent. I'm for sure he's going to want some more money. June Jones, I'm for sure he's going to go and negotiate his contract. So if I'm Hamilton Tiger Cats, I'm going to ride out Mazzoli because of the way he's played so far this year.
Where does Collaros end up? I know we have an offseason to go through and the big picture and all that, but what team might be interested in his services, and where do you think he goes?
Well, I think there's three options. All Eastern teams, Montreal, Toronto, or Ottawa. And people are saying Ottawa, they have Trevor Harris. Well, Trevor Harris is about to be a free agent, and they haven't offered him yet, or if they have offered him, he hasn't accepted the offer. I guess he don't think it's fair. So that's going to be an option. Of course, Toronto. Ricky Ray, he's playing okay this year, but Ricky Ray is old and he can't take any hits, and I'm sure they're going to go after him. And of course, Montreal is going to make a bid for him also. So one of those three teams, I think he'll be playing. I think James Franklin will also be in that mix. He's another young quarterback who's going to be a free agent. So those two guys will definitely be changing teams this year, and I think those three teams will be buying for both of those guys.
Milt, how messy is the situation in Montreal? You got Kavis Reed, who are giving very generic type responses to the media. The ownership there, you got the kid now talking for the old man. It just seems real messy over there.
It is a mess. It is a mess. I think the problem this year was they brought in those old guys saying, okay, let's give it one more kick at the can. You know, we want to try to get a home playoff game or just make the playoffs. We haven't done it in, what, 3 or 4 years. Let's try to do it. And those old guys couldn't get it done. Durant couldn't get it done. You know, on defense, they were okay. Kyrie still had a good year. Bowman still had a good year. Of course, Chip Cox is a shell of his old self. He couldn't do it. The offensive line couldn't get it done. So now you want to blow it up. But if you blow it up, basically saying we're building, in that market over there, I don't know if those fans are going to buy into it. So now they have some tough decisions to make. Do they try to go out and rebuild, or do they say, okay, we're going to bring in some solid pieces to make sure we do make the playoffs again. So it's a tough situation they have to deal with. The most important piece, of course, is the quarterback. They have to find a suitable quarterback. I think Darren Durant, I think it's ran his course the way it looked this year. So they have to find someone who can step in and replace him.
Mike O'Shea's focus clearly on just one game at a time down the stretch here, Milt, but it would be massive for that team to get a home playoff date. Do you think they get it done?
Oh, without a doubt. I think all they have to do is win one of their last three, or Edmonton lose one of their last three. So they'll definitely get it done. That's big. You know, playing in Winnipeg in November, I didn't even want to do it, and I played there all year long. So I know those teams don't want to come in there and play. It's not a nice place to play when it's cold and those fans are on you. So it would definitely work in their favor if they can get that home playoff game.
Are you going to bring the panel to Winnipeg if they get a home playoff date and do the show from here?
If I can grow my hair back, they're trying to get me a Jerry curl, so that would help my bald head. But it would be beautiful. It would be beautiful. There's no place like Winnipeg when it comes to playoff games. Those fans, they come out. I mean, they come out all the time. But for that playoff game, all Troy, all his relatives, his sisters, his cousins, all the folks are out there. So it's a special place to be come playoff time.
People would come from miles around to see a little Jerry curl and a little salsa, something in it.
I may even grow my mustache back, and I cut off my mustache in 1994.
Yes! Bombers, if you're listening, get that home playoff date. It's worth it right there. Milt, we appreciate the insight as always. Thanks for doing this. Have yourself a great rest of the week.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, Turtle Man.
Put some soul glow in that Jerry curl.
The stash. I forgot about Milt's stash, man.
Yeah. I can't remember the stash before my time. November's coming, though. Are we in, gentlemen? Are we in? Are we on board?
For
November?
No.
Come on, no. Troy.
I have all the pride, man. I'll do whatever I can.
Look at the size of that upper lip. It looked real good.
I did it 1 year. I hated it so much, man. The facial hair, hate it.
Ruwicki.
I'm out.
If Patrick Laine can grow a blonde duster.
I take it to the carpet, though, boys.
All right, we'll end this right now. Yeah, never mind, Brandon. We'll move on here. TSN 1290 and Knott Auto Corp present the Blue Bus. I'd like to challenge Trevor Knott to grow a Movember this year. He looked like Tom Selleck, I bet. Before every Winnipeg Blue Bombers home game this season, we're taking W fans to Investors Group Field in the Knott Auto Corp VIP. Blue Bus will pick you up and drop you off the Knott Auto Corp VIP tent to tailgate before the game. Then after all the football action, take you back to wherever you started. Prize includes 6 tickets to an upcoming Blue Bombers home game and free transportation to and from. Enter to win now at tsn1290.ca. Your next chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas is coming up on a Mr. Lou Winnipeg Jets game day on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on tsn1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Twelfth caller through at TSN 1290 and redtag.ca present Hockey Nights in Vegas, 780-1290, as we're sending 5 lucky listeners and their guests to Las Vegas this November, where they'll see the Winnipeg Jets take on the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And we are gathering all the qualifiers we can. The trip includes return airfare to and from Las Vegas, free parking at the Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, courtesy of Park and Fly, 2 hockey tickets, Jets versus Golden Knights, November the 10th at T-Mobile Arena. 4 nights accommodations right on the strip at the MGM Grand and $1,290 in cold, hard cash to help you cover a few extras during your stay. Listen for your chance to qualify and win weekdays at 7:15 a.m. and right now at 8:15 a.m. right here on The Big Show on the Don Vito Roundtable with Kevin Olszewski at 12:15 and then with Hustler and Rick Ralph at 5:15 p.m. on the afternoon ride. You can also watch for bonus chances to qualify online on our social media. Winners will be announced on Monday mornings here on The Big Show. Next grand prize announcement is Monday, October 23rd, and our 5th and final one is on November the 6th. For more information, check out tsn1290.ca. Hockey Nights in Vegas, presented by redtag.ca, where Canada shops for great travel deals, and TSN 1290. Our first qualifier today was Derek Honeygon.
Honeypot!
Honeygon. Honeylicious. Could be off to Vegas. And we'll take our 12th caller through right now at TSN 1290. Also, remind you, it's a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Blue Jackets on the station tonight. 7 o'clock is Puck Drop on TSN 1290 with Mr. Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns. Full pre- and post-game coverage coming up for you live from Boston Pizza City Place. Boston Pizza Fan Line will be open at 9 to discuss some of the roster moves. But right now, Mr. Rewicki has our 12th caller through.
And it is Kent Witherspoon.
Kent Witherspoon!
Spooner!
I
shouldn't have said that.
Our 12th caller through, and you do get a Jets Gear gift card simply for qualifying. We appreciate you listening to TSN 1290, and you are good to go. You are in for the next two grand prize draws.
Spooner!
Kent Witherspoon! And Derek Honeygone!
Honeypot!
Honeypot.
Good luck, boys.
Got a tweet from a listener with a Leahy quote.
Oh, yeah? Can you say it?
Quote, 4:30 in the afternoon and he's drunk already. Should be quite the night, Randy. We're already drunk too, Mr. Randy. That has nothing to do with Witherspoon and Honeygone being qualifying, but they get Jets Gear gift cards and they are in good to go. Of course, all the details at tsn1290.ca. Your next chance to qualify, 12:15 on the Don Vito Roundtable with Olszewski. And then Ralph and Hustler have your last chance today, anyways, at 5:15.
That's a tough show to watch when you got little ones in the house. You hear little feet coming down the stairs. You got to stumble with the remote. Get it off. Mute first and then take it.
My grandparents in Central Alberta sold the farm when I was a year old and moved into a trailer park. Huh. Fast forward years later, I'm in Cranbrook, BC, working the media. My cousin who lives in Whitehorse sends me a text. And he's like, hey, Merry Christmas. What'd you get? Stuff like this. We're adults now. And I'm like, I don't know. He goes, I got the full version of Trailer Park Boys. And I'm like, I've heard about this show, but I've never watched it. He goes, do yourself a favor. Take that in. Reminds me of where Grandpa and Grandma retired. Huh. So I'm like, all right. So I get the DVDs. And Hollingsworth was the trailer park manager where my grandparents retired. Mr. Hollingsworth. And he'd come get rent. Lot fees and everything. So the whole thing resonated with me. It was outstanding. But years later, my parents watched it a couple of times, and it was like watching my cousin Ryan Reynolds and Van Wilder. They're like, what is going on this program? People get paid to do this.
But Dave Black, former O lineman with the Bombers, one time we're chatting, and he goes, hey, Westy, and there's no better storyteller, and all the boys know this and are laughing right now, than Dave Black. He's like the storyteller. And he's out east for some work, and I can't remember where he was, somewhere out east. And he said, Westy, you wouldn't believe what happened to me the other night. I'm in this bar, and this guy comes up to me in this tight black t-shirt, and he's getting in my face, and he just won't get out of my face. And then this little guy with super thick glasses comes up, and he's like poking at me, and they want to dance, and Black is really gregarious and loud, and I guess these guys were doing a thing, like the whole bar was in on it, and of course the boys from Trailer Park Boys are in there and they're going at him, and Black, you had no idea who Bubbles was or Ricky and Julian, and they just got him hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, it's funny as that. And I met them several times, like when I was working at Shaw TV, they'd come to town on their tours and I would go down and interview them, and one time I literally, thank goodness I wasn't driving the Shaw van, because so the gig was, it was Ricky, Julian, and Bubbles. And Bubbles, without his glasses, is a 54-year-old guy.
Yeah.
And they only do interviews in characters. So you go into the Fairmont in this banquet room, and they're there. And they are crushing the booze at 1:30 in the afternoon. In fact, Bubbles, in real life, is just like, well, we crush that vodka. And he throws the bottle away. And he says, you can't do an interview with us unless you have a drink. They're promoting a book. So Julian literally, no word of a lie, pours like a four-finger white rum. And I drink this while we're doing the interview while they're in character. And I get back to the station. And I'm literally like, I got to have a nap before I can write this story. But they're great guys. John Dunsworth, in case you're just tuning in, the guy who played Mr. Leahy passed away yesterday at the age of 71. So by all means, we're taking quotes and favorite moments from the Trailer Park Boys. Another couple quotes we're going to get to is Paul Maurice's comments on Kyle Connor, who draws into the lineup. Matthew Perreault on the IR today for about 4 weeks. So Kyle Connor gets called up with 3 goals and 2 assists in his career so far this year with the Manitoba Moose. And here's Maurice and what Connor adds to the second line with Brian Little and Patrick Laine.
Well, speed, that's the big piece that he can add to that line. Patrick's such a great shooter. Brian's a really quick player. What Perreault did well was he got in and he got on it. You know, like he was quick enough to get in there to create some offensive zone time and allow those guys to do the things they do well. And Kyle should be able to add that.
And here's what having Brian Little means to Paul Maurice between two young players like Laine and Kyle Connor?
That's exactly right, and that's why Brian in some ways is the right guy. An easier, just to balance it out, would have been to move Nick Ehlers to that line. It would be really good, but I just can't. Wouldn't want to take that apart right now. That line's been so dominant. So Brian's played with young players, and Brian wants it. Like, he's fine with those two guys. He spent some time in training camp. He's just a good pro, smart pro. Glad he's got a long-term deal, to be honest with you, so he's not thinking about driving numbers. You know, he's thinking about winning hockey games, and he's a real good pro, so he's the right guy to work with both those kids.
It will be really neat to watch for sure.
Yeah.
And ultimately here, 4 weeks down the road, Kyle Connor comes in, makes a positive impact, has some good level of production, and then I think something all of us in this room have wanted from the get-go, to have Perreault on the third line and whomever up in that top six, just to spread out the wealth a little bit. If Kyle Connor can stick and stay, and when Perreault comes back and healthy, boys, and he slots in on that third line, that's a game changer for the Jets going forward.
We'll get your thoughts on the lineup on the Boss Pizza Fan Line at 9. Up next, we'll talk some NFL with Jason Cole on the Big Show on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekday 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is excited for UFC Fight Night, December 16th at Bell MTS Place. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.ca. You could win tickets by texting FIGHT to 129090. We'll also be throwing in a pre-fight dinner at the official sports bar of the UFC in Canada, Boston Pizza. Standard message rates may apply for text entries. Grand prize winner will be announced on Monday, October the 23rd, with us here on The Big Show. Want another chance to win? We are adding a pair of tickets to the TSN 1290's Man Cave. Visit TSN1290.ca for contest details and enter now. It is a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day here on TSN 1290. The Winnipeg Jets hosting the Columbus Blue Jackets at 7 p.m. live from Bell MTS Place. Full pre- and post-game coverage starting at 3 o'clock with the afternoon ride at Boston Pizza City Place, and the Manitoba Building Trades pregame show at 6, puck drop at 7, and the Huron Windows postgame show will wrap it up for you live from BP City Place. And the Boston Pizza fan line will be open on the postgame show. It'll be open at 9 o'clock to get your thoughts on the lineup, what's going on with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, Bombers, Major League Baseball playoffs, NBA starts tonight. And, of course, your thoughts on the NFL. Lots to get to after Week 6 of the National Football League, and we love doing it with our good friend from the Bleacher Report, bleacherreport.com, Mr. Jason Cole. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
We already have a ton of listeners tweeting yesterday that when we had you on today to see if you're okay with the Aaron Rodgers injury. Are you all right?
It's hurting. It hurts. You know,
how big of a loss is this? Because it was the big story of the day. It continues to be. And really one of those players that even if you're not a Packers fan, you tune in to watch. This is a bad year for big stars in the National Football League being injured. But how does this affect the NFL, not just the Packers?
Oh, this is sort of the double whammy kind of injury because it's not just a star, but it's a quarterback. And it's a quarterback league. And you're talking about one of those guys that, yeah, people just watch – whether they're a Packers fan, not a Packers fan, somebody that hates the Packers or likes the other, you know, you don't even have to like the other team to want to watch him play quarterback. Now, I'm not saying it's a huge part of the audience, but it's enough. And when you have showdowns like, you know, Cowboys versus Packers in the playoffs, I mean, those are marquee games. And Rodgers is a huge part of that. So, yeah, this is a big one for the NFL. I'm not sure there's anything you can do about it. It's like when you lose Tom Brady in the first game of the season in 2008, was it? You know, you got to ride with what you got, and the NFL will survive it. But, yeah, it's a double-down injury.
Jason, I thought that hit was the type of hit that you'll see 100 times on a Sunday. Unfortunately, Barr falls on him, and that's when the injury happens. Some people are calling it dirty. Did you feel that hit was at all dirty?
No, I thought it was perfectly. I mean, I don't want to say perfectly fine because the guy got hurt, but that's a football play, and those things are going to happen over the course of the game. So, yeah, that is that's something that's unfortunate. It's part of the game. I would say that based on the fact that Rodgers has had this happen to him twice, he might be a little bit predisposed to fall that way, but that may be, you know, maybe that's just me making an assumption, but now it's happened above the left and now the right shoulder. So, look, it's I didn't have a problem with what Barr did. I thought it was in normal action. I don't think it was a cheap shot. I don't think he drove him into the ground. This is not like I remember when Tony Siragusa hit Rich Gannon in that playoff game. Siragusa definitely put every ounce of energy that he possibly could into driving Rich Gannon into the ground. I don't think that that was the case here with Anthony Barr.
What do you think the Packers do? Do they stand pat or do they go get somebody?
Look, I think that they ultimately stand pat for the time being. Look, people talk about Tony Romo, grew up in Wisconsin, blah, blah, blah. I just think that Romo's done, okay, because knowing Romo, he's probably not been working out the way he needs to work out to maintain his weight and strength and all the things that he needs to do, because he was never big on doing that when he played, right? So he was always kind of a fragile guy. I think that based on what you hear out of Romo, he's really happy with where he is at the stage of life, and I don't see him doing that. People talk about Kaepernick. Kaepernick doesn't really fit what they do, and I'm not sure that they want to take on, you know, all of the negativity. But on top of all of that, there's this. They like Brett Hundley, and they believe that he's a good player. And, you know, talking to Mike McCarthy about him in the past, talking to Ted Thompson, talking to other teams that wanted to trade for him, you know, during the offseason, there's a belief that he's a good player. Is he Aaron Rodgers? No. But they're not getting Aaron Rodgers anywhere else right now to cover that. If they're going to win games, they're going to be doing it with other players stepping up and making up for the difference.
Did the Jets get robbed on that Seferian Jenkins call at the goal line?
I actually think that they interpreted the call correctly, but like it's one of the we're in this nebulous area where this could be the one fumble where you sit there and say, okay, it's finally time to change this rule. And by saying, and what I mean by that is forever we've had this rule that if the offense fumbles into the end zone and it goes through the end zone and nobody gets possession again, the ball goes to the defense and on the 20, it becomes a touchback, which doesn't exist in the regular field of play. If, you know, a team fumbles and it goes out of bounds, it goes back to the original spot and all these other things that we talk about. So I'm a big advocate of the offense shouldn't lose the ball on that play. Now, determining where do you put it? Do you put it at the 1? Do you put it at the 5? Do you put it at the 10? Do you put it at the 20? Okay, there's something there, but the offense shouldn't lose the ball because the defense didn't make an affirmative play to get possession of the ball. It was just, you know, it's just a fumble out of bounds. And I really believe that the offense should get the ball back. And I think that they've talked about that. In fact, you know, Al Riveron talked about that yesterday. So they've discussed that many, many times. They just can't find an answer to it. And they've never felt the push to change. This might be the play that pushes them to change.
Jason, who's the best team in the NFL right now?
It's still Kansas City. I mean, they played a bad game on Sunday against Pittsburgh, and they have, like, that's a bad matchup for them. If you go back to the playoffs last year, like, they don't do an effective job of figuring out how to score, especially in the red zone. This is where Pittsburgh's zone defenses are a real problem for Alex Smith, and they react really well to him and shut him down. And that's where Alex Smith, I know everybody's talking about Alex Smith for MVP this year based on how he played the first games. We saw what the Alex Smith liabilities still are in that game against Pittsburgh. So I still say on balance, when you account for everything, Kansas City is still the best team. They just have one matchup that they can't get through right now, and they're going to have to fix something or tweak something in order to get through that one. But I'll take the Chiefs.
Were you surprised by Adrian Peterson's 134 yards and 2 touchdowns over the weekend? And do you see him being successful going forward in Arizona?
No, I was not surprised because, let me just put it this way, and this is kind of a stupid way to put it, but I remember the year he came back from the knee injury, right, and he rushed for 2,000 yards. And he didn't play at all in training camp, and he was babied through it. And, you know, everybody's worried about what Adrian Peterson was going to be, especially the fantasy football people, right? So I took him, I think, in the second round. And I remember critics saying, you know, it was one of those public ones on Yahoo where, you know, fans got to weigh in and other analysts got to weigh in. Everybody's like, oh, you took him way too early. And my thought was never, always bet on guys who have incredible drive as long as you don't see that their legs have completely gone, right? You know, unless you see that they've completely fallen apart physically. And I hadn't seen that in Adrian Peterson. Now, last year he got hurt and, you know, he never really got started because he went through his typical early season issues. And then this year he never really got going because they were only giving him 7 or 8 carries. I thought, you know, if he can get to a place where he can get 20, 25 carries, we'll see a really good player. And that's what we saw. He's the main guy. He's the bell cow back. He's still that guy. And most importantly, mentally, he's still that guy. And that's what you bet on with players until they start to fall apart physically.
Jason Cole from the Bleacher Report joining us to talk NFL. Jason, on the big show, by the way, on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day, 42 minutes past the hour, TSN 1290. Jason, what's wrong with Atlanta?
Well, I think the combination of losing Kyle Shanahan and that focus on how to operate that running game is really important. I think that the injuries, like, everything went well for them last year in terms of injuries. I know that Julio Jones had the turf toe, but he was able to play through it. And they had pretty much everybody on that offense healthy all year long, right? So when you have that, I think that that's, you know, that makes up for a lot of differences. Let's just put it that way. And then you have a really great play caller who's really good at knowing how to manipulate running situations. And you put that all together for one season, and you get magic, right? And everything works perfectly, and Matt Ryan is all of a sudden playing, you know, at a statistical level above, you know, probably 10% removed from whatever he's done before, right? Now you got a regression. You lose Sarkisian. You've got Mohamed Sanu banged up. You've got Julio Jones banged up again. You're missing, you know, your running backs are a little banged up, your offensive line's a little banged up, and you know, you don't have the same guy calling the plays anymore. You put that all together, you get some problems. You don't get the efficiency that you had before.
Jason, if I'm the NFL, I don't want to get down and dirty and maybe have to hand over a bunch of emails and all the rest of it, though, of what might transpire with the lawsuit from Kaepernick. Ultimately, do you see that getting settled?
Well, it's not a lawsuit. It's an arbitration hearing. I don't know that it gets – I mean, how do you settle it? I mean, you force some team to take him? You admit to collusion? Like, admitting to collusion is as bad as it possibly gets. And here's the thing. I don't think there are any emails that exist. I really don't. I don't think that anybody was sort of stupid enough to say, hey, we're the Ravens. Let's call the Steelers and tell them not to sign Kaepernick either, right? I think that this is, while it is in essence collusion, it is not a formal thing the way that, say, Peter Ueberroth in the late 80s did it with baseball, where he told teams don't pay, you know, he suppressed salaries. This was not an effort by the NFL office or by owners to sit there and say, okay, you know, keep him out. I think they all just individually said, this guy is radioactive, we're not going to touch him. And, you know, if somebody else signs him, great, but we're not doing it. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that, but I haven't heard one inkling from anybody anywhere along the line to say, hey, yeah, there was a memo that went around, don't touch Kaepernick. I don't see the NFL being that stupid about it.
And before we let you go, your thoughts on the Ezekiel Elliott situation. I know they're on a bye. Does he play when they come off the bye, or is he done for six games?
I think he'll end up winning some kind of move in court to stay on the field for this week. That would be my guess, and that ultimately this will be dealt with somewhere down the line where he loses ultimately. Like, he's going to – he is going to lose the outcome of this case because the NFL does, under a very broad language of the collective bargaining agreement, has the power to do what they've done. It doesn't mean that it's fair, and I know that everybody says, well, it's an unfair situation, unfair. That's right, but guess what? The players agreed to it, and shame on them for agreeing to something that gave the power to management in this broader terms, and especially when they were represented by an executive director of the union who, by the way, is a former federal prosecutor in the United States.
A follow-up to that is, Jason, should he just do this now, or is there a chance that maybe week 14 it comes into effect and then he's done for the playoffs too?
That's a good question. But I tend to think, like, I would gamble on these kinds of things always taking longer. I was a little bit surprised that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans decided as fast as they did. But I think looking back at it, it was a fairly simple issue for them to decide. You know, this is a preemptive lawsuit. I still think it's going to take a long time, even if it ultimately gets to New York, which is more favorable for the NFL. I still think it's going to wind its way and that they're going to continue to play. And if I'm Dallas and I'm Cowboys management, I would rather gamble on having Ezekiel Elliott play this year than waiting another year, because I do think, in some respects, they view him as a time bomb who could blow up any minute and no longer be all that functional. I mean, I'll say this. There are a lot of people in the Cowboys team who say they'll get their 4 or 5 years out of Ezekiel and be happy with that and then probably let him go, because he's just not – He's not the best gamble for a long-term career.
Great stuff as always, sir. Thanks for doing this, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Okay, talk to you later.
Thanks so much, Jason.
Jason Cole, the Bleacher Report.
I do wonder, like, with the grievance of Kaepernick, ultimately it is like if the grievance is won by Kaepernick, the monetary award will be awarded. I wonder if you would prefer, like, if the NFL ultimately would prefer, instead of the possibility of getting dragged through the mud and all the rest of it, if they'd prefer to settle.
Yeah, I don't – again, like you said, how do you settle? Is it one team – I guess if a team signed him, then it would be
– the league would have to settle with him, right? It's the league that
– like, pay him out something?
Well, that's – if he ends up proving that, like, the grievance going before an arbitrator – and it could result in a monetary award. So if Kaepernick wins it, he will be awarded money. I just wonder if the NFL would, you know, come to the settlement. We don't admit anything here, but here's some cake and please go away. Like, I wonder if that's going to be the easiest thing for them to do.
Yeah, I don't know. We got a break, though, and we'll tee up the Boss Pizza fan line next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Blue Jackets tonight at 7. And, of course, full pre- and post-game coverage throughout the day and evening here on TSN 1290. Matthew Perreault is on the IR for 4 weeks. Kyle Connor gets the call. 3 goals, 2 assists, 5 points so far in his Manitoba Moose season. He'll play with Brian Little and Patrick Laine on the second line. Tucker Poolman is in for Dmitry Kulikov. Could be out for up to 2 weeks, and Steve Mason gets the start. Your thoughts on the Jets' moves, and what do you expect tonight versus the Blue Jackets?
Expecting to see, I thought Mason played well in those first two games, but just got a real raw deal with what was in front of him. I expect to see success for him tonight, and am really intrigued by Kyle Connor, the opportunity here. This is a long-term type of a situation for him to make the most of. Come in here and make cannonball into the pool, kid, and make your presence known and flourish. And let's never look back from this situation going forward.
And I don't want to overhype this move here, but this is a situation that could fix the Jets' biggest problem up front. And it's the bottom six, the construction of the forward lines and how little production they're getting outside of their top six. And if Kyle Connor can come in right off the bat and you don't miss much of a beat without Matthew Perreault there, that allows the Jets to put Perreault to the third line with Adam Lowry when he's healthy and whoever you want to put on that right side. And all of a sudden the Jets have three play-driving lines, and they have three lines that can give you some offense moving forward here. And as of right now, they're getting Zippo from that bottom six. So if Connor comes in and contributes right away, season-changing, I don't know if it's that intense, but it's certainly a huge development that would happen.
2 points so far from the bottom six for the Winnipeg Jets, both shorthanded goal and a shorthanded assist. I'm very interested to see not only the opportunity he has, but that it's going to be for up to 4 weeks and a good solid look at Kyle Connor in the National Hockey League and Tucker Poolman back. Very interested to see Steve Mason as well. Your thoughts on the decision to go with Mason over Hellebuck? What do you expect from Connor, what do you expect from Kyle Connor and the game tonight? Anything and everything on the Boss Pizza fan line. We talked Bombers as well. The gong show that is going on in Saskatchewan with the Rough Riders and their receiving core. Major League Baseball playoffs and the NBA starts. Who wins the NBA title this year as the season gets underway tonight? As I said, anything and everything on the Boss Pizza fan line next on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. 780-1290 next on the Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the Big Show, TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca, and the Boston Pizza fan line is open on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. 780-1290. Would like to get your thoughts on Paul Maurice going with Steve Mason tonight over Connor Hellebuyck, saying it was time and they want to get him back in the net. Also, Kyle Connor makes his Winnipeg Jets debut for this season. He'll be on a line with Brian Little and Patrick Laine. Get your impressions of that. The gong show that's gone on with the receiving core the receiving core, Jaron Carter, in Saskatchewan once again. An off-field, on-field at practice altercation with a teammate. And the reports coming out of Saskatchewan. Anything and everything, 780-1290. We'll also get your thoughts on the NBA season, which starts tonight. What do you get chances? Do you give the Raps? And is it the Golden State Warriors season to lose? And the Major League Baseball playoffs, Astros-Yankees go game four this afternoon, 4 p.m. Central, with the Astros up 2-1. And, of course, the Cubs and the Dodgers go back at it tonight as well, 2-0. But get your thoughts on the Jets and what you're expecting over the next couple of games, and specifically tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The first of two meetings between Columbus and the Jets as well. And Steve Mason back between the pipes, gentlemen. We thought, I think collectively, that it would either be tonight or Friday against Minnesota Wild where you would see him get back into the net. Not only what you're expecting, but we discussed this earlier in the program as well. If he does well, what do you do on Friday? Do you go back with Hellebuyck or do you ride Steve Mason for another straight game or two straight?
It's a great question, man. And I don't know. I don't go away from Hellebuyck tonight. If I'm pulling the strings, I think he's playing at too high a level right now. Although I understand the dust collecting on Steve Mason, so it's a delicate thing here to balance. But boy, for instance, if Steve Mason rips off a shutout, you're not starting him Friday night, right? Like if he plays exceptionally well, you got a shutout. I don't know. It's a great problem to have, though, isn't it? You got two guys, if Mason plays well tonight, and you got two guys that are at a certain level, that's a great problem to have. Let's hope that that's the case.
I was going to say, you got to hope that problem happens first, yeah. Right? Like you still got 60 minutes against Columbus. And I think for that reason is why I would have went with Hellebuyck, because he's playing pretty close to lights out right now. And I think the Blue Jackets are a more dangerous team than the Minnesota Wild, who have a number of pretty significant injuries right now. So that's why I would have went with Hellebuyck tonight as well, looking at the opponent and maybe trying to get Steve Mason into a more palatable scenario where you can give him a greater chance for success here. But in all reality, it doesn't matter too much because you had to give both of these guys starts this week anyways. You can't have any goalie, or you know, with this situation, you can't have them both waiting until the third game, which would happen next Thursday. just too much time off.
The back-to-backs next Thursday, Friday, but at Pittsburgh and at Columbus are pretty easy to decide what to do. But it'll be interesting tonight. And you said it. What if Steve Mason gets a shutout? What if he doesn't? What if he loses? Like, you go back to Hellebuck, that's a pretty easy decision. But then when does he draw back in? Is it the back-to-backs? And as you go forward for that, what are your thoughts on the Jets' goaltending situation? And 780-1290 in the Boss Pizza fan line. And we'll get into Kyle Connor tonight. I like the fact that he's not only back up, but he's playing on the second line. But I also like the fact, and no disrespect to Matthew Perreault, obviously you need Matthew Perreault active on this roster if you want to do some damage in this National Hockey League season. But he is out for 4 weeks. It's going to be a long, extended look, it seems like, at Kyle Connor. What are you expecting tonight, and then what do you expect over the next couple of weeks? What does he need to do to impress you?
To impress me? I'll be leaning to more towards the, not so much the production, but the process with him, and if he's creating a bunch of opportunities, and that's the one thing, right? When he's out there with Lowry and Armia, or that third line, the way it was constructed there for a bit, you create some opportunities here with Little and Laine, and it's going to the back of the net. Little doubt about that. So I expect, or maybe I'm more hopeful. It's not that I really expect anything. Going into it open-minded, hopeful that he fits in and he's able to be productive, because I am really intrigued and just a salivating at the possibility here that in 4 weeks when Matthew Perreault is set to return, that Kyle Connor's put up some real solid numbers and has looked good out there, 200-foot looking good. And then the Jets are a different team when Matthew Perreault comes back and they slot him in on the third line, a place where I think all of us thought he should have been in the first place. So the potential impact to this team with this opportunity for Kyle Connor is considerably big.
What do you want to see from him? You know, tonight, obviously, we're going to be keeping an eye, but just now that we know he's going to be here, he doesn't have to do everything tonight or the next game in order to stay. What do you expect to see from him or need to see to be impressed over the next couple weeks?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are going to say, well, we need to see defense. We need to see how he plays in his own end. I don't really care about that, to be honest. I really don't. He's not here to play defense. He's here to score. He's here to put up points. And if he can, and my whole reasoning behind that is, if he can't put up points for you and he's not an offensive impact player, then he doesn't have much use to you. You know what I mean? Like, he needs to be able to do that to showcase, I guess, how much impact he can bring to the Jets so far. And if he's unable to do that, I mean, it doesn't mean he's done as a prospect or anything, but then it probably puts Chevy into a position where he needs to get active in the trade market to bring in some more forward depth here. Because as of right now, what they're trotting out in the bottom six isn't good enough. And they need Kyle Connor to be that impact player and then have Perreault come back from injury. And then things become a little bit more optimistic when you look at the depth at forward for this team.
As Dennis Bayek said earlier in the program, he is going to get his opportunities. Let's not make any mistakes about that, that with Little and Laine, he's going to get some opportunities. He's going to have to bury a few of them. Going forward. To the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290 here on The Big Show on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. Andrew, you're kicking us off today. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
I don't like the decision to play Mason. If it was a back-to-back, I would be all for it, but Mason was average at best, probably below average in his first two games, and I think that's being nice. Hellebuck has clearly been the better of the two goalies and has played really well. I feel like this is either a really weak coaching decision, or it's a decision that's made to protect a decision that a GM made in picking up a goalie and paying him a lot of money, because at this point the Jets are extremely fragile. These 2 points count the same way these 2 points would count in March or April, and I don't think you take that kind of risk with so much space in between games. Like, again, this isn't a back-to-back where, you know, you can't play Hellebuck two nights in a row.
So you would wait for the back-to-back to put Mason in?
Well, I'd wait to you know, continue to ride Hellebuck, who's playing really well. He deserves to keep playing. I don't know any other team in the league that would do what we're doing, which is putting in a goalie who, again, was average at very best, and take out a goalie who's been really strong for three games in a row.
Well, I don't think he was average. Like, I think there's maybe a goal that he would like back, but I don't think he was – I think
He was pretty good.
I think he was pretty good. He made some big saves before the gates started opening up.
Especially in Calgary.
He would make some brilliant saves just to have, you know, have no help right after that.
But to be honest, I think a lot of teams would make this move. If not, maybe not tonight, Andrew, but definitely Friday.
But I understand what Andrew's saying about,
sure,
you know, Hellebuck clipping along at a real awesome rate here and just go, right? You just want to say go. Let the reins go and let them keep going. So this is why you get paid the big bucks to make decisions like this, right?
Well, the other thing about it is that you probably don't want to put in a goalie who, I'm not sure which Steve Mason we're talking about. I don't think he was average in those two games. He was definitely not better than average. He, again, average at best, but you don't put him in when you're at home, when there's a real expectation, when the crowd could turn on you if he does let in a soft goal. He has proven in the past to be weak-minded. And
how is he? Sorry. How do you know that?
Well, he almost quit the game. He almost quit the game a few years ago. He let in a goal from a blue line when he was in Philadelphia. That's not, you know, I don't think it takes much more than that to prove that this is a goalie that maybe has, that isn't his strength.
So what happens tonight in your mind if he comes in and plays really well and they win like 3-1?
Well, that'd be fantastic, but the likelihood of that happening is probably lower than it is than it will. I mean, again, you've got Hellebuck who's playing really well. It just defies all logic to change it at this point.
I understand what you're saying, Andrew. I don't think it's that out of the norm, though, like you're making it out to be, like defies all logic. He hasn't played in over a week, and the team is playing much better in front of Hellebuck. I want to give Hellebuck full credit, but there is, like, if you leave him sit for 14, 16, 17 days, you're not giving him an optimal chance to be good, in my mind. I think you need to get him back in there. Now, I understand fully what you're saying, and I could see if it wasn't tonight, then it would have to be Friday in my mind. It would have to be one of the two. Maybe tonight's not the best one, as Andrew's saying, but I have no problem with him going in this week.
See, and the interesting thing to me is, I don't, like, do you owe him the start? Right? Like, a lot of people thinking that Connor Hellebuck maybe could work his way into being the starting goaltender for the Jets to have at the end of the season or for the playoff run or something like that. But there's a good chance here that one of these two guys coming into camp even would step up and grab the starting job. So I suppose you offer this up to Steve Mason, you see what he does. And if he's not successful and Connor Hellebuck comes in and has another real strong game against Minnie, and then however they divide up this back-to-back, like, there's a chance here in the next 2 weeks, potentially, that Connor Hellebuck could establish himself as the starter. Right? Yeah. He could create enough separation here where early on he's the starter, and then they inevitably will have to go with him instead of almost trying to, like, this is almost a start to appease Steve Mason in a way, because, man, if you're a backup goaltender, going that long without starting isn't all that unusual. That's something you got to deal with as an athlete. So you wonder at what point in time will Paul Maurice, you know, how many games have to go by, something towards the end of the month, if Connor Hellebuck is still sitting something north of a 920, and at some point in time, maybe it won't be an official statement, but it'll just be known Connor Hellebuck won the starting job, and Steve Mason's going to have to settle into that backup role, even with the money he's making.
Yeah, and I'm not buying the argument at all that Mason's weak-minded or soft-mental. I don't even know how you can determine that, because he gave up a full-length goal against Washington, something that Martin Brodeur did in the Stanley Cup final against Anaheim, and I'm sure if you go to YouTube, type in any all-star goal, you can find a goal like that. I don't know. I just don't know how you can come to that conclusion.
I don't think he played himself out of getting a start. I think, you know, we can judge all the goals and look at the 6-plus goals against average in two games, but I don't think he played poorly enough to earn himself out of a start.
He didn't play poorly at all. I don't like that narrative. I heard it lots. I was saying last week from a national standpoint where people just look at the numbers and go, oh, Steve Mason's disappointing in Winnipeg so far. Well, I just thought that's real unfair. There were literally, of the 11 goals he surrendered, one of them went through him. The rest of them were just... There's no way, like, any save would have been highlight reel type material. So I don't like the narrative at all that he was average or something less than average. And that, as crazy as it sounds, with the 11 goals allowed, I just thought he was superb. It was an absolute train wreck in front of him.
Thanks for the call, Andrew, and the opinion. We'll have to see how it goes. We appreciate you taking the time and weighing in on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Martin, you're on the Big Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. Just a couple of comments about this whole goaltending controversy. I remember reading in the Free Press and online during training camp and even over the summer. I like Steve Mason. I think he's a veteran goalie. He's underrated. And his comments in the Free Press were that he is happy to be back and have a fresh start with a team that's it's a high profile team in a Canadian market. And he was basically saying, if you read in between the lines, that, you know, okay, if I have a bad game, Connor Hellebuck can sort of, he was talking basically about mentoring Connor Hellebuck and that he's not necessarily expecting to play 60 to 65 games. Of course, any goalie is going to want to play 60 to 65 games, but I think you got two good goalies that can kind of feed. You got a veteran goalie and a rookie goalie, and there's Maurice is not a stupid coach. He's a good coach. He's going to do what he feels best to get the sort of synergy going and have that internal competition. And also, per the goals against, the Jets, I don't know the statistics exactly, but they've been averaging 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, the sixth season since they came over from Atlanta in team defense. So it doesn't matter. You could put Carey Price in there. If they're miscuing and going off the mark and they have that sort of psychological panic, it doesn't matter who you have in there. And people forget, finally, people forget Mason was the Calder winner in 2008 to 2009. That just seems like yesterday. Time flies by. And he's an honest, good, when I've seen him interviewed, he's a good, honest, sort of articulate veteran that says, yeah, I lost my confidence. I felt like at one point I wanted to quit. And then Philadelphia picked him up. As we all know, if we follow the NHL even casually, Philadelphia, in fairness to Mason, is a goaltender's graveyard. That's all I wanted to say. You know, discuss as you will. And, yeah, good show. I like listening. Thanks.
Appreciate the thoughts and your time, Martin. We'll get back to more of your calls on The Big Show, TSN 1290 next.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day, Jets and Blue Jackets tonight on TSN 1290 at 7 o'clock. Puck drop, full pre- and post-game coverage as well. Back to the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Brent, you're on the Big Show. Go ahead, Brent. Brent's gone. We'll go to Mike. Mike, you're on the Big Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Just about this whole goaltender thing, I think... personally, what Brace is doing here, I mean, he's not afraid to run a goalie. He's done it in the past, and he's even said he's not afraid to do that. But I think the bigger thing here is that he wants to get Mason to have some sort of good feeling back. You know, I mean, to get absolutely whacked like that in the first two games for a guy who's brand new into a franchise, that's not exactly the kind of welcome that that I'm sure he wants, and have the confidence in the guy's room, or the confidence in the room from the guys. So I think he's going to throw him back in there, even if they lose, but he puts a better performance together. You go back to Hellebuck, and then you know, at least Mason has a better feeling if and better confidence coming back in the net if he's going to back him up moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think that plays heavily into it. It's you're not sort of saying, well, this is the way we're going already in this season. You definitely want to play the hot goalie, and you want to go with Connor Hellebuck if he's doing well. But you also don't want to alienate Steve Mason. And alienate's a bad word because it makes it sound like, well, you didn't perform well or something. It's just he is a big part of this, and he is going to be a big part of whether he plays 30 games or whether he plays 60. He's going to be a big part of this season, and I think it's important, as you said, to get him back in. That's why I'm not surprised or upset even that he's playing tonight, because I
personally would have played him this week for sure, just given along what you're talking about, Mike.
Yeah, 100%. He definitely has to get back in there, especially this early in the season. And I think he's a good goalie. He just has to have the team in front of him to be able to show that. And I think the team's where they need to be right now to do that. And then if he drops the ball here, then, hey, I guess so be it. It's goalie's a funny thing, right? It's a lot of it is mental. Majority of it's mental. So if he can show that he's back on track and the team's back on track, then that's great. But I still think you go back to Hellebuck on Friday and then ride him. I mean, he's looking so confident and so calm in the net. I mean, how do you not just ride that guy?
Good stuff, Mike. We appreciate you taking the time and weighing in with your opinion. Back to the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Who's next?
Let's squeeze Ron in.
Ron, we'll get to you before we take a break. Go ahead, sir.
I'm just thinking, I don't think I like very much the way that Patrick Laine is being used. What I'm getting at is, like, last year, he wasn't on the first team for the power play, which probably cost him several goals. This year, he's not playing up from the first line with Wheeler, and I just kind of feel like he's not being utilized to his maximum capacity.
Well, he plays the same side as Wheeler. Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think of that? I don't have a problem with the way he's been used so far.
Well, you'd like to see him ideally get more ice time. And I do agree that I think he would ultimately be more productive on the outside of Scheifele and Ehlers than where he is right now with Little and Perreault there. And hey, maybe things will improve now with Kyle Connor helping to feed a little bit as opposed to Perreault. I just don't know that with Perreault on the outside of that line, if that was a good sort of fit for you know, getting served up and stuff. Like, Pro just a little bit more scrappy, down low, a lot of that low stuff, and maybe Kyle Connor with his infusion of his the skills he brings to the table, there'll be some more opportunity served up.
I wouldn't get super concerned about who and where Laine is with. I mean, they're going to switch this all season long. I just think they will, and eventually you're going to see, I know Troy's dream of Scheifele, Ehlers and Laine together. So he's playing close to 20 minutes a night. I think that's kind of the main thing in the top six.
Thanks for the call, Mike. More of your calls when we come back to the big show on a Mr. Lou Winnipeg Jets game day. 780-1290 on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Would you rather have? We're just going off. It's 280 pounds, by the way.
He's 280, huh? Aaron Judge.
280 of Aaron Judge or the 5'6" Jose Altuve.
You're
probably
Mighty Mouse.
10.
Mighty Mouse. I could watch Aaron Judge swing a bat for hours, and I just love watching him swing, man.
I don't know what it is about Altuve, but I dig his game. I like watching him play. He's got some pop on him, too.
Altuve.
Is he not the MVP, like, easily in my mind? Yeah. I like Lindor. I like what Judge did. But when you bring in the defense, the stolen bases, the home runs, everything, 346 this year, forget about it. Get your Judge out of here. Get your Judge Judy. I'll take Judge Judy before I'll take Judge.
Give him the MVP. The Yankees will take this series. I'll trade you that.
Yankees and Astros this afternoon at 4, Dodgers and Cubs later on tonight, and tonight a Mr. Lou Winnipeg Jets game day, Jets and Blue Jackets right here on TSN 1290. Back to the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Steve, you're on with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Go ahead.
My cold's a lot better this week, so I don't sound quite as sexy as I did last week.
Meow.
We'll give it a shot anyway.
Still no Demi Moore.
No, the belly still looks like her, though, in that picture. But,
now I remember you, Steve.
Yeah. Hey, okay. Two things super quick. Either first or second year, Mike O'Shea said something that I absolutely love. He said, durability is an ability.
Yeah.
And Matthew Perreault does not have that ability. I'm not trying to slam the guy. I like a lot about his game. But sooner or later, and this is not a question, it's just a thought, sooner or later, it has to play into management's decision making and planning that they just can't count on the guy. And it's too bad. It's not a character flaw, but it's a fact of life, and it really sucks. It's too bad.
You know what? One thing though, man, I was exactly what you said. I was giving some thought to this morning. He gets his average value of contract is $4.1 million, uh-huh. And over the last 4 years, he's averaged 0.64 points per game. And if he's giving you 65 or 68 games a season, is that? That's still pretty good value, isn't it?
Fair enough, I suppose. It's frustrating. Let's just say that. Yeah. Okay, Troy, I want to ask you a question and hang up. I should have double-checked, but I think Bomber's last game is in Calgary, regular season, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, the odds are almost 100% by that time Calgary will have clinched first, unless they have already.
They have already.
Oh, okay. Well, then it is 100%.
I don't think they've clinched first yet.
They have to lose out, and the Bombers have to win it.
Okay, but it's 99 points. It's that Calgary will have clinched first, mm-hmm. and the Bombers will have clinched second. I think that's fair to say, correct?
Yeah, let's hope.
So the following week, Calgary's got a bye, so they're going to have to play it, and they're at home. They're going to have to play a few of their starters for at least a half. But the Bombers don't have a bye the next week. Why not use that week kind of like a quasi-bye, and Harris and Nichols and a whole bunch of others stay home, if you know what I'm trying to say?
Well, you know what you're trying to say, but...
I think the Bomber... Like, I don't think Mike O'Shea... I think he's come out and expressed that he doesn't believe in the sitting out, like, for a week sort of thing. You might get a Matt Nichols in there for half. And the one thing I hope, man, is... Because that's... If Andrew Harris is sitting at 980 yards, for instance, rushing and or receiving, like, if he's knocking on the door of 1,000 and... They want to sit him in the second half in Calgary. That's a real bad situation. I hope that does not transpire. And if it does, I hope that everyone involved at the old line, everyone's going to want to go get Andrew Harris that 1,000. And I know it's an individual thing and all the rest. It's kind of a team thing, though, to me. And just let him go get that. I hope that – I just got bad vibes that comes into play somehow, and I sure hope it doesn't.
Here's how I would go with this. And this is the scenario, the likely one, where the Bombers clinch second, Calgary gets first, and whoever gets third. But I think you play Andrew Harris in the final game until he gets the double 1,000, and I don't even let Matt Nichols near the field. I don't care how much he wants to get on. I don't care how bad he wants to play. No chance. No chance in hell he's getting anywhere near under center. You can't have that risk, especially now that Mo Leggett's out for the year. Matt Nichols is your most important player right now.
It has nothing to do with Leggett, brother.
Well, I'm just saying, though, like, you already have one devastating injury on defense. There's no need to risk anything like that with Nichols in a game that presumably would mean nothing.
Mm-hmm. This is just coming in from Darren Bombing. It sounds like Weston Dressel will be ready to come back just in the nick of time, but the Bombers will also be looking to NFL vet Chris Givens, who we mentioned yesterday, to help in the receiving core. He's been here for at least a month.
The only thing I would counter that with, Wicks, is that if Matt Nichols says, hey, I want to play half. I don't want to sit out a week. Like, if it's important for him, for his, you know, the way that he's playing and all the rest of it, just to say that, like, the consistency of playing one day a week sort of thing, if he wants to go in for a week, then I would, if he thinks that's going to make him sharpest for the playoff game, then I'm playing him for a half for sure.
And Mike O'Shea believes in that. Mike O'Shea believes in rhythm and the week to week. And he said, like I think that Mike O'Shea is the guy that if I lose a guy for the season in the last regular season game, it means I'm fine with that. Like, it's just that's football, it seems to be, is his approach to it. Thanks for the call, Steve. Back to the Boss Pizza fan line on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. 780-1290. Mike, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. As always, I think it's about the coach and his decision-making when it comes to the goaltending. I really like the move to Sid Hellebuyck. I guess I feel that we don't want a repeat of last year, so I really think it's time to let him sit down and watch from the bench and let Mason have an opportunity and then put him back in on Friday. I really like that it's Columbus, because I think that psychologically Mason should be, if there's a team he should be ready to play for, it's Columbus. I like both goaltenders playing just before the break, so they're well positioned to work with their goaltending coaches before the long break. And I like setting up the next 7 games in 12 days that follow this Friday. You've got both goaltenders relatively fresh. And, in fact, I'd like to see somebody play back-to-back next week. I'd like to see somebody take the bull by the horns against Pittsburgh, go back-to-back with Columbus, and run from there, and I really hope it's Hellebuck.
So you would like to see the same goalie go back-to-back next week?
Sure. I mean, it's going to have to happen. I just don't see a goaltending tandem working throughout the season, and if you look at the number of back-to-back games, I just don't see a rotation working throughout the season. They probably have. I haven't counted, but I'm going to guess they got eight at least back-to-back situations, and I really don't see the tandem working. I'm not a tandem fan. I don't think Paul Maurice is a tandem fan. But again, I think he's setting himself up by giving Mason an opportunity, and I think as much as anything, he really is saying to Hellebuck, you've done great, but remember, three games doesn't earn you the right to be the starting goaltender, and so we're going to play Mason. You'll get your chance again Friday. Show me one more time. And then again, both goalies are set up, spend all the time they need to with their goaltending coaches, and I'd love to see Hellebuck go in again next Thursday and ride with it. Not 7 out of 12, but really ride those two, and I think Maurice would then be in a position to play the hot goalie at that time.
What do you guys think of that?
Well, the back-to-back, there's no reason to play guys back-to-back. When does it happen? Like, people mention it. Like, sometimes it happens in the playoffs. So how often does it happen where you would have to play back-to-back? And there's just the history. I know that Paul Maurice, it wouldn't surprise me if he did, because he did it last year on a number of occasions.
He did it
right?
With Pavs all the time.
Yeah, but there's no reason that – I don't know why you battle history in those situations. Just separate it and let them share the – and you got a perfect situation here with probably very little or no drop-off and with whoever ends up in a backup role, or if they're going to platoon, however it works out here. But I see no reason whatsoever to run anybody in a back-to-back situation all season long.
Yeah, unless it's some kind of extreme scenario, right? Or even if, I don't know, if you have Carey Price in that and your backup isn't super strong, then yeah, you'll probably run Price two games in a row, because even a subpar Carey Price gives you a better chance to win than your average backup goalie. But in the Jets situation here, even if you don't believe a tandem works, which is fine, you still switch it up on the back-to-back. It really wouldn't make sense either way, and it's unfair to whatever goalie would get both starts there. You don't want to, like Troy said, there's a mountain of evidence pointing towards that being a mistake for the team that opts to go that route. So I don't know why you would try and press your luck if you don't have to.
Yeah, I don't have a big of a problem with the back-to-backs if that's where you want to go. I just agree with you guys on next week, it's not necessary. I mean, if Mason fumbles big time tonight, which I don't see happening, then maybe it's something to be brought up. But I don't have a problem with them splitting those two back-to-backs this early in the season going into next week. Thanks for the call, Mike. We appreciate it on the Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Terry, you're on the Big Show. Go ahead, Terry.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
It's kind of nice when there are injuries in the Jets lineup. Not that the injuries are nice, but for example, on the defense, with how Pullman's been performing, with Kulikov out, I see Pullman as a top six D. So, in fact, I see him even playing better, you know, in the initial few games. So, I think that's a nice, pleasant surprise. And the same for, you know, Perreault goes down, but it's not really seen as a negative because it's given an opportunity for Kyle O'Connor to show up. So I think things, as Troy had mentioned, if he, you know, he'll have a good 4 to 5 week run to prove himself, and I think he will. I think he had an off preseason and exhibition and et cetera. So, he definitely has the skill set. I'm not too concerned about his, glaring defensive errors. But if he plays solid defense, but, you just can't teach those offensive skills. And that's what he's here for. So, you know, if in a perfect world, he really gels well in the top six. And Perreault comes in and slots in on the three. And we're a better team overall. And a quick comment on the goaltending. I think the reason we're only having this discussion, we're just a little over 5% into the season, is that, who thought Hellebuck would be as improved as he is compared to last year? I'm quite surprised on just how sound he is, but like the previous caller, I think it's good. not to rush him in his progression. And I think maybe to some extent, how much him sitting on the bench and maybe being classified as you know, the second or the backup goalie or the 1B goalie, is that his motivation to play how he's playing? Because for goaltending, you know, 80% of it's mental and focus, etc. So I hopefully, you know, Mason steps in and they both push each other. And I think if Hellebuck could continue, because just technically how he is, his rebound control is just so much more improved. But it's that mental one of, you know, if he were to string together too many and then all of a sudden it kind of breaks it down. So I say, you know, Hellebuck, what I've seen is going to be sort of the future for this team. So we need Mason to play very well, to play solid, and to, you know, help him along. And probably looking for next year is to Hellebuck to kind of, you know, carry the lion's share of the load for games played. So anyways, I will hang up, gentlemen, and hear your comments. Thanks,
Terry. I did expect Connor Hellebuck to improve. I am surprised it's been this good this soon, but I did think he would get better throughout this season. And I liked Hussler's comments in the preseason where he said there's a chance that come April, if this team's in the playoffs, that Connor Hellebuck could be the starting goaltender. And I think that was always the plan. Like, I was on record saying I thought Connor Hellebuck struggled at points last year, but it's nothing that I didn't expect from a goaltender being handed the reins. I thought it'd be better, and I'm pleasantly surprised these first three games have gone that well for Connor Hellebuck, but I did think he would improve this year.
And if Connor Hellebuck maintains some level where there's save percentages north of 920, he might secure the starting job sometime November.
Let's get that push going. Let's see what Steve Mason can respond with tonight. I'm excited to see it. Scott, you're on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290.
Hey,
go
guys.
Ahead.
Just a couple of points I wanted to make here. One, I listen to the show every day, and I notice there's a huge discrepancy between when Bufflin has a good game or when he has a bad game. When he has a bad game, the whole show seems to concentrate around how we need to move Bufflin forward, what's he doing fishing with Matt Hendricks, et cetera, et cetera. A good game, and we don't really hear much. Like, he was by far the best defenseman on the team the last game. And even in the Toronto game, he was, I thought, the best defenseman. I started tracking, like, chances given up by defensemen. And Tyler Myers against Vancouver gave up 3 2-on-1s and one giveaway right in the slot at the end of the game. And Trouba gave up 2 2-odd-man rushes. And 2 bad giveaways. The last game, I just stopped counting because Myers was so brutal, it wasn't even worth it. And Trouba was far worse than Bufflin. But it seems like we have a different standard for Bufflin here. The other point I wanted to bring up was our penalty kill. It looks like, if you look at the stats, our worst penalty killers right now are Brandon Tanev, Adam Lowry, Andrew Kopp, Tyler Myers, Dmitry Kulikov. It's all our defensive specialists that are in the lineup. Our best penalty killers are Wheeler, Little, Shifley, and Morrissey, pretty much by a mile. And in their cases, they're letting up almost 50% of the shots against that those other our penalty killing specialists are doing. So I'm wondering if the way we're running our roster is sort of backwards here when we have specialists that are doing a job twice as bad as our skilled players. So anyway, those are my 2 points. I'll hang up and hear what you guys have to say.
Thanks. We will have to take a break, Scott, but we appreciate the thoughts, and we'll touch on them when we come back on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on a Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day on The Big Show on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Jim, Troy, and Brandon. Also today, the NBA kicks off, and there are 12 Canadians on NBA rosters. It's the most international contingent represented in the National Basketball Association. No other country has as many as 12 players. Tristan Thompson in Cleveland, Dwight Powell in Dallas, Jamal Murray in Denver, Trey Lyles in Denver, Corey Joseph in Indiana, Tyler Ennis is an L.A. Laker, Dylan Brooks in Memphis, Kelly Olynyk is in Miami, Andrew Wiggins is in Minnesota, Kim Birch is in Orlando, Nick Stauskas is on the Sixers,
And Chris Boucher is a Golden State Warrior, but he has a two-way contract.
That is so different from 20 years ago. That is just, it's absolutely mind-blowing.
How much time do you think Boucher gets with the Warriors this year?
Yeah, nah, not a whole lot.
Eight minutes.
But you got and you got that R.J. Barrett kid coming up in 2019's his draft year. So not only do you have the depth of Canadian players, but you have Wiggins, who's averaging over 20 a game. Jamal Murray is up and coming with Denver, and if the Barrett kid can be something, I mean, all of a sudden you got a surprisingly competitive basketball team for the Olympics.
I want to go back to what Scott was talking about.
Yeah, let's get to Scott. He touched on Bufflin first.
That penalty kill thing, it's interesting that, you know, if you're tracking it, because Scheifele and Wheeler, he's saying he's only using them because of the injuries right now. So he's looking to get away from continuing to do that. And I've been hoping that they get into more of that. So where that goes going forward will be interesting. And then the whole Buff thing. Dude, you mentioned Buff. Buff's first game back was against Carolina. You said something about Edmonton, but his first game back was against Carolina after playing the first two games. And it's not our problem if he plays poorly. Of course everyone's going to talk about it, right? He's an absolute superstar, and we're going to talk about it. And you said we gave him all kinds of props for playing a real sound game against Carolina. He was super impactful and was a major force in the third period. The big question mark is, repeat that, man. We want to see that again tonight. He should be out there and should be dominant.
What if Matt Henricks caught the sturgeon? He's losing all credit for this. That's a massive haul.
There's the penalty kill problem solver right there.
Buff did play. I understand the penalty kill. Like, I see what Paul Maurice is doing. I know what the numbers are. I don't think you can run your horses that much. I give Paul Maurice full credit for putting his better players out there. But those guys should be better at penalty killing. They're better overall players, in my mind. I think you're trying to find a way to spread out the ice time. It just happens that your best players are better at all aspects of the game.
It's called 5-on-5. That's where you spread out the ice time, for the love of God. That's what the good teams in the NHL do with their special teams and their PK.
They play 5-on-5.
Roll their lines. Right, that's where you make it. Your bottom six have to carry you in those even strength situations so that your true skilled players out there can contribute. The penalty kill is just a little bit important. Hello?
Randy. It's enough, Randy. We have two tickets to Roger Waters at Bell MTS Place on Sunday, October the 22nd, 780-1290. The 12th caller through will get those. It is Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day. Kevin Olszewski will be downtown for the Don Vito Roundtable at 11 a.m. with your latest on the pregame skates and some audio from that. Husser will have the Gondola Pizza warm-up at 2, and then the afternoon ride with Husser and Rick Ralph live from Boston Pizza City Place, 3 till 6. Olszewski's back with the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show 6 till 7. Puck Drop with Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns right here on TSN 1290 is at 7 between the Jets and the Jackets. And then the Huron Windows postgame show will wrap it all up for you and more, the Boss Pizza fan line. And we'll be back tomorrow morning to break it all down for you. On behalf of Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, and myself, Jim Toth, we thank you for listening. And the Big Show will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.